Blog Talk Radio.
Joseph Gibson is running for the House of Representatives in North Carolina's District 65. We have to start voting for patriots who love this nation, and Conservative Nation Media proudly endorses him. Joseph Gibson is one of those patriots, and it's not too late. We need to start realizing that there is not a different truth for everyone. As the liberals say, there is only one truth. A vote for Joseph Gibson for North Carolina's District 65 will help bring back the integrity Americans have been missing. Paid for by the committee to elect Joseph Gibson to the North Carolina House District 65. See you at the polls, patriots. CNM is growing again, and we are proud to announce our new show coming up next with host Suzette. And it will be airing on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Suzette is a constitutional scholar and health professional who has hosted shows on BTR since 2009. She currently hosts Welcome to Suzette Live Talk on Spreaker. Tune in for Coming Up Next with Suzette at 7 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays, heard through Conservative Nation Media, where we can depend on the truth always being told and where America always wins.
Black by Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
All right. Hello, hello, everybody. You are tuned in to MWCR Radio on Conservative Nation Media. Where is the truth these days? This is your co-host, Lucid Libertarian Lorianne. Robert is not able to be here tonight. He had some obligations he had to attend to for tonight. So he asked me yesterday if he should cancel the show or if I want to take the reins and host tonight's show instead of canceling it. And so I said, sure, I'll fill in for you, no problem. That's why you have a co-host, right? So here I am, you guys. So surprise, surprise. You have Lucid Libertarian here, but you actually are on NWCR Radio, Robert's show. But like I said, he will not be able to make it tonight. So I'm hoping everybody calls in, keeps me company tonight, keeps the conversation flowing. Of course, I'm sure there's all kinds of news to discuss and talk about that's been going on over the past several days. And looks like people are making their way into the chat room, which is awesome. Hey there, Jim Clark. How you doing tonight? Sarge, I see you in the chat room. Hey there, buddy. Boyd the Alaskan, you're in the chat room. Hiya there. And, of course, Mike was the first one on the scene. So, hi, Mike. Hopefully everybody is doing well tonight. But like I said, Robert had obligations tonight. He's okay. no crises or anything. But he had a commitment with his church tonight. And so, like I said, you're going to be stuck with me for the night. I hope that you're not too disappointed. But, you know, that's just the way it is. So, yeah, lots of stuff. He did, you know, do me a favor and lit up the things that he normally plays on his show so I wouldn't have to fumble around quite so much. So, yeah, and I think that I see Mike already in the switchboard raising his hand. And a Skype number. So anybody that's out there listening, feel free to call in 646-478-5284 and then press lucky number 1 on your keypad. That raises your hand on the switchboard to let me know that you'd like to talk. Otherwise, you can also just kick back and listen. And then hopefully Joe Gibson will make his way here as well. We can get updates on him and his political drama that's been going on with the GOP in North Carolina there that have been trying to get him off the ticket, but he is on the ticket. He will be on the ballot. And so we have to see what other obstacles they're going to pull out of their hat to see if they can thwart him. It's really looking that the GOP there in North Carolina really doesn't want him to have any chance at winning, and they're pulling out the stops. It certainly seems that way. And I don't – I know Robert sometimes will play a clip, sometimes he won't, but I did see one that came out by J.P. Sears. It's been a while since I've done a J.P. Sears clip. I know this isn't my show or anything, but J.P. Sears did a pretty good one. He talked about, you know, the Davos and the meeting of the elites. And so while people are making their way here, getting dialed in, getting into the chat room and things like that, I'm going to go ahead and kick off this clip, the latest by J.P. Sears from a couple days ago. What the loving elites are planning next. And then we'll get into more current events, and I'll bring people on that are raising their hand in the switchboard and and we'll get the conversation started. So happy Friday, everybody. We are here. We are gathered. Now would be a good time to get dialed in, get yourself settled, make yourself a drink, let the dog out, let the dog in, all that good stuff. As a matter of fact, I think I will. I think we have a break in the rain, and so my own dog is going, hey, I want to go outside now that we have a brief respite in the downpour rain here in Oregon. And so I'm going to go ahead and do that while we play the clip, and we will be right back in about 8 minutes or so. So stay tuned. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. This is JP Sears, What the Loving Elites Are Planning Next.
Please welcome your first 2024 World Economic Speaker to the stage, J.P. Sears.
Good evening, and a happy Davos 2024 to you, my fellow dignitaries. I applaud the World Economic Forum for bringing all of us altruistic, trustworthy people together for this year's event. Now, as the world's most trusted news anchor, I was honored when dear Klaus asked me to provide some opening remarks. But I thought, what do I say to the group that always tells me what to say? And then Klaus generously provided me with these words of mine from him to say to you. A few things in my opening address. We are in danger. Grave danger. According to our World Economic Forum risk assessment, we've determined that the number one risk that threatens the globe is misinformation and disinformation. You heard me right. The number one risk to the globe isn't open borders or starvation. That'll actually help the globe. More on that in a minute. And neither is the greatest risk nuclear bombs or terrorism. No, my friends, it is misinformation and disinformation that poses the greatest risk to our planet. In fact, according to the World Economic Forum Global History Task Force's report, we've determined that the Ice Age and extinction of dinosaurs that was previously thought to be caused by an asteroidal impact was in fact caused by the cataclysm of misinformation and disinformation. The dinosaurs could not handle it, and neither can we. Therefore, we must take extreme measures on internet security, aka finding a way to take down Twitter and having one of Elon's rockets explode while he's on it, in order to avoid the impact of misinformation slamming into the earth. Additionally, a problem that we've been trying to solve for: how can we make the Hunger Games a reality for the people of this world? Well, as I look around this room, I see presidents, billionaires, philanthropists, as well as the high-end hookers that you all brought as your plus one. And this can help us realize, as the World Economic Forum is the unelected government that governs the governments that govern the little people of the world, this year, we must take great strides and initiatives to rectify the global climate crisis by eliminating the food supply. If there is one key takeaway from this year's summit, it's that farming and fishing is ecocide. You've probably been thinking about it, because ecocide is a popular term that I just said for the first time ever. In fact, ecocide is the equivalent of the genocide of people, and it should be treated accordingly. A major step forward in bringing a new order to the world will be making food illegal. Of course, citizens of the world will still have the right to eat food, just not food that is farmed. And that should be of no concern, because currently the percentage of food in the world that comes from farming is just a modest 100%. But with our global initiatives to eliminate farming, we're making major investments in genetically modified test tube food that coincidentally can only be grown in our labs, which will mostly be crickets. And unlike the unnatural way that nature grows food, our lab-based food will be complete with the recommended daily allowance of mRNA genes that are encoded at the cellular level. Can you imagine the compliance? You eat this or you starve. Well, not you guys, but, you know. Now, we didn't realize this at first when we decided to criminalize food, but it turns out our new order we're bringing to the food supply will give us complete control of the food supply. And through the power of DEI initiatives that are vested in all of us, I think we can steward this control equitably. Yes, the non-compliant may choose not to eat, and we will choose to watch them starve to death. But for the purpose of reducing carbon emissions through the elimination of farming and fighting ecocide, because it's just as bad as genocide, we will have a major starvation-induced genocide on our hands. Fun fact, throughout history, starvation is the main method used to induce genocides. And because, again, ecocide is the same thing as genocide, we have no choice but to do the very thing that we're trying to prevent. And thus, Hunger Games can become a reality that we enjoy watching. Oh, I'm being asked to make an announcement. John Kerry, you left your private jet parked on the sidewalk next to the main entrance, and it's still running. If you don't return to your vehicle immediately, it will be towed. If there's a John Kerry in the room, please return to your private jet, or it will be towed. And in further news updates, God is dead. That's all on that one. There is no God. Now, before we get to the updates on merging human consciousness with iCloud technology, which should be fantastic, we are facing a major threat that must be addressed now. President Trump, being democratically fairly elected and returning to office, poses the greatest threat to democracy in the world as we know it. So in an upcoming think tank session, we'll have an open discussion spitballing ideas on how to eliminate him for the greater good. You know, like he's like a cow. But before we do that, we are going to break for dinner now as you listen to a panel discussion that will provide you with practical policies that will help us with our initiatives to eliminate meat, fish, and farming for global empowerment. As we put Klaus's bowl of food on the floor for him and his jowls to eat, we'll be serving you the finest filet mignon, caviar, and farm-to-table vegetable medley. And if you would be so kind, please don't let your hookers get any of their expensive gonorrhea in the salad. Thank you. One of the most beneficial practices in my health routine is using one of my...
Okay, I'll stop the clip before he gets into a minute and a half of ads and stuff. So here we are. I hope you enjoyed that clip. I know I did. J.P. Sears is usually pretty good at doing those. I think he summed up what the elites planned at Davos pretty well. I'm going to go ahead and bring Mike on in. Hey, hey,
hello.
Mike, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Hello.
Hello.
And let's see, we still got a full house in the chat room, but so far you're the only one that's called in and raised your hand, so it's just us for now, I guess, unless the 111 number could be SARD. But, yeah, so Donald Trump, he gets a verdict not so favorable. I guess the decision on the E. Jean Carroll case.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few pennies. Only, you know, $83.3 million in damages. What damages? I don't know. Her claim that he raped her, and so $83.3 million, and I guess Trump, in response to it, he made a comment on Truth Social. Absolutely ridiculous. I fully disagree with both verdicts. and will be appealing this whole Biden-directed witch hunt focused on me and the Republican Party. Our legal system is out of control and being used as a political weapon. They will take away all First Amendment rights. This is not America, Trump posted. The both verdicts line appears to refer to Friday's decision and a prior jury determination from last year. Carroll initially sued over Trump's 2019 comments, though the suit was delayed due to questions over whether Trump enjoyed presidential immunity for the making of the comments while in office. The U.S. District Court Judge Lewis Kaplan ultimately rejected that argument, and Friday's decision addresses those denials. So that's a pretty big blow, but of course I know that he's going to appeal that. Boy, man, Trump's attorneys right now are making bank. I mean, geez, you know, like these attorneys probably could never have wished for, you know, such a cash cow landing in their laps, like being an attorney for Trump at this point. In the chat room, we got Ron Reck has joined us. Hey there, Ron Reck. What do you think about that before we move on to what I know is going to be a subject that Sarge will want to talk about, the Texas border stuff, but what are your comments on this latest decision hitting Trump?
Well, I just posted on all these socials that I'm on, Truth, Twitter, and the rest of them, that she will never see a penny of the $83 million plus that they quote awarded to her, and that refers to the potential appeals. And secondly, I said also, even if she did, it would be very minuscule because a lot of that's going to go to the lawyers. You know, would go to the lawyers. So the lawyers would be making bank off of E. Jean Carroll, she's weird, you know. She's the one that when she went on the, not Tucker Carlson, but what's his name who was a Vanderbilt on CNN? I'm blanking on his name right now, but she hit on a gay guy. Okay, she hit on a gay guy. You know, and that's the thing. She's weird. She's. It's like Trump said. She named her cat Vagina. You know, that's.
Yeah.
I mean.
I just can't imagine naming a cat Vagina.
Come here, Vagina.
I mean, if that's not a little bit of a microscope into the psyche, I don't know what is.
Look.
It looks like Boyd raising his hand, so I'm going to go ahead and bring Boyd on in.
Hello?
Hey. How's it going up there in Alaska?
Oh, it's wonderful. Absolutely marvelous. It's a beautiful day. I should send you more of my weather so you can enjoy it too. I don't like to hog everything, you know.
What's the current temperature, Boyd?
I think we're just a little bit above zero.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
I don't know. It's
so you're
supposed to
so
start,
you're able to run around
to
outside
snowing.
In your shorts and tank top then.
Say what?
I said so you're running around in your shorts and tank top then.
Pretty close.
Because it's a balmy 0 degrees.
Yep.
I know one thing, boy. That this judge, these jurors and these people next Christmas will be getting a lump of coal in their stocking from Santa Claus, right?
There's a real good chance of that. unless they find themselves another Santa.
Yep.
This bitch has. She has another Santa because she did not bring this case to court. She was the vehicle in which it was sent to court in. You know, she was financed completely by somebody else. So, you know, if Trump does pay out that money, she doesn't see it because her financier will get the money.
That's right.
And it just so happens the guy that financed her to take this to court is also the same guy that is financing Nikki Haley.
Yes, he is. Reid Hoffman.
Wow, when you start to connect the dots, boy, you know, it's amazing how there's these players in the background that...
Yeah.
You know, you really see how they're the actual puppeteers here, and this is where the money is, you know, the political influence, and it's like, and when you start to uncover who's behind all these people and their connections, it can be pretty eye-opening.
Yeah.
Yes, it could.
But what am I to know, you know?
Yeah, you're just our beloved Santa Claus here, you know?
Yeah, I just make toys and give them out.
Well, you do have that list that you do know who's naughty and who's nice. So,
well, yeah, I've got a list and I'm checking it twice. Some of you might actually later this year get some more ice.
There you go. Well, you know what? I think that Santa needs to, you know, shut down the toy making factory and start farming. And that way Santa can give actual good, you know, homegrown fruits and vegetables and meat that isn't lab grown, that isn't GMO, that isn't mRNA injected. So I think Santa might have to change his business model.
Well, I might, but you know, first thing has to happen is Biden's got to let us get our natural gas so I can heat the fields, you know, keep my greenhouses open up and warm.
Yep.
Yep. Well, you got some time on your hands to do it. Spring's coming. You know, that brief window of time when you're actually able to get stuff done and not be frozen in. Is short, but it's still doable and it's coming up, so you can plan on it. Yeah, this is crazy. This is crazy. I don't know. I haven't really like followed the whole this Carol drama with Trump. I haven't really followed it all that much. Jim Clark is saying in the chat room, so we're going to reelect a rapist. What are you guys saying? I don't know.
Let's just say this, okay? I am extremely surprised that through all of this, we haven't seen Gloria Allred, you know, with her sluts. I mean, this is this is right up Gloria's alley. she's, you know, this is the kind of shit that she likes.
Mm-hmm. Let alone somebody like Benjamin Crump.
Yeah, Jim Clark in the chat says, did he do it or not? How does rape come to $83 million? And I'm saying, well, you know, it comes to $83 million because Trump has a lot of money. And if they can't keep him off the ballot, if they can't get him any other way, then they're going to hit him in the pocketbooks, left and right. Try to, you know, ultimately bankrupt the guy, and he'll be the next homeless person that's living in a tent. That's what they want. So I think that this is a, you know, the timing is always suspect with these things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you also gotta realize one thing, okay? Where did this happen? Where was the jury pool? Where were the courts? This was all planned, staged for New York. This is a New York kind of thing. You know.
And who's in charge in New York? Richard James, who ran on Get Trump. Hello.
Yeah. Well, you know, can't disagree with that, so I can't argue.
And then they have the other two trials, the porn star trial up there as well, and they have the other one where they're talking about $200+ million, or whatever it is that's going to be the payout. The quote payout, which they will never see a penny of that money. And the whole thing with Stormy Daniels is, yeah.
All I'm saying is, look at where he has been indicted. Look at where the courts are, and look at the political makeup of where those courts are. You know, there isn't one court that has actually been in a, you know, Republican held or a red area. They're all in deep, deep blue sites. So what can you say? You know,
the only one, boy, that's in a Republican area, and this is the one that's already, I think it's already been delayed. That's the one down in Fort Pierce, Florida. That is a judge that was appointed by Trump in an area that voted 90+% for Trump. And the court holds for this judge is in one of the most MAGA areas. So that trial is going to be delayed, and it might very well be, you know, dismissed by this judge down there in Florida. So we see when he has a fair judge, things may very well turn out. Now, granted, the Fannie Willis deal, and when Sarge decides to raise his hand and comment on that, because of her, let's call them foibles, that thing, she might very well be pulled off the case, thus probably eliminating that, making that case be dismissed, you know. So
and that is the one case that I wanted to see go forward.
Mm-hmm.
because that's the one case where Trump can put all the cards on the table as far as the election cheating.
Yep. Yep. Let's see, Laurie Ann, anybody else on the phone besides, anybody else on the phone?
It is still just us for now. Skype caller is still just kicking back listening. But we got a full chat room. I'm hoping that Joe Gibson might call in and give us an update as well. I guess we could segue into talking about the latest that's going on in Texas and the border, the battle between Abbott and Biden for control over the border. And y'all want to talk about that? That's getting pretty fired up. It's, you know, Texas, Abbott, they are in defiance of the federal government. They want, you know, when Biden is failing to secure our borders, they're taking it upon themselves. I was seeing that there's another truck convoy being planned, so truckers are heading down there in support of Texas in this battle. So that should be interesting to see how that, to see what transpires there. I read that Biden has been, you know, saying, you know, you better comply with us or else, like, or else what? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we got a showdown going on over here.
Okay.
I think a lot of us are on Texas's side. You know, if the federal government is going to fail in their duties, then the states have absolutely the right to secure their own borders and reign and do what they need to do. So, go ahead. Let's talk about it. And hopefully Sarge can call in and talk about this, too, because I know he's pretty passionate about this topic.
Okay, here's the deal, though. What Texas is citing is Section 4, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. The United States shall guarantee every state in this union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. So they're going to use this to say that the federal government is not, you know, protecting them from invasion. Therefore, they're going to be able to do it themselves. That's going to be the argument from Texas. It's a constitutional argument. Okay, so when they show up in court and make that argument, we'll see what happens with these judges. You know, we'll see. When they make that argument, there you go.
Well, you guys saw in the chat room that video from Tim Cast.
Tim Pool.
There's a video from a guy that was posted up in the chat rooms over on Gunslinger's board. And he's advocating, you know, that Trump wins and we get the control of the border and everything back, that every one of those CBP officers should be arrested down there on the border, and including almost everybody in CBP be arrested for willingly and knowingly assisting or facilitating is the word I'm looking for, facilitating human trafficking.
Yep. That's what I'm saying.
Along with the DHS. And we do have a Skype caller raising their hand. I have a feeling it might be Sarge. So let's find out if we got Sarge in the house.
And just imagine, folks, for one moment. The man who was going to bring us all together might very well have embroiled us in World War II and a Civil War simultaneously. That would be a record. That would be unprecedented. That would be epochal. And just think, it's not inconceivable. Now, the Texas Military Department, I put a link to it in the chat room, is putting out a nationwide call for volunteers. I put it in the chat room now. I don't know if any of y'all are taking a look at it. But listen to what they're saying. They're calling it the Operation Lone Star Border Support Mission. And they have a volunteer form there for you to sign up. And it says that the Operation Lone Star integrates Texas Military Department with the Texas Department of Public Safety to deploy border security assets to high-threat areas to deny criminal organizations the ability to illegally move drugs and people into Texas. The Texas Military Department has new full-time positions available for the Operation Lone Star Border Support Mission. These positions offer an array of benefits, including lodging and per diem of $55 per day. Volunteers must be medically and administratively deployable and a military member of the Texas Military Department. Fill out the form below and contact your readiness non-commissioned officer. Service members wishing to learn more about border mission, click here. They got a hyperlink. Now, you know, I'm just thinking to myself, this is long overdue, but this, frankly, is momentous. This is a moment where a state is asserting not only its duty under the Texas state constitution and the governor's authority as the governor, but they're also invoking the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, and they're saying we cannot brook any delay because we're being invaded. Put that out in a very explicit statement they made. If you've read Governor Abbott's statement, it is concise and to the point, and they're making no bones about it. And it appears to me that they're prepared to resist the power of the federal government, which means we are heading for an impending constitutional crisis sparked by the guy who's supposed to bring the country together. Gee, ain't that something? I tell you, man, I'm loving it. We've been talking about this on like Joe Gibson's show and elsewhere. I've long said the states need to have a military force completely under their control that the federal government cannot divest them of by federalization. I was in the National Guard for 17 years. I've always known it's a reserve component of the United States Army. When and if the Department of Defense and the President decide to assume its command. I've always known this. I don't know why people ever thought that was the state militia. That has not been the case since 1903 when they passed the Dick Act. Well, now Texas is taking the responsibility to engineer an effective militia seriously, and it looks to me like they're doing what has to be done. Government, no matter what level of government it is, whether it's local, state, or federal, no matter what, always, bottom line in the final analysis is about some sort of force. Always and forever, government relies for its authority on force. If you don't have it at some level, then you are subject to be bullied and run over at any time. That goes for states. That goes for nations. Texas is asserting its sovereignty, and thank God they are doing it in a constitutional and, in my opinion, a legal manner.
Right. And so is what I said earlier. They're, you know, you mentioned the other one, but they're citing Article 4, Section 4, which is a Republican
that too,
government.
Yeah, that too, yes. Yes. That was in the Governor Abbott's declaration. And what I've read now, 27 volunteers from 27 organized state militias are volunteering their services to the governor of Texas. It would appear that the governor of Texas is going to accept their offer and put them in the Texas Military Department, which means whatever actions they take that are lawful and constitutional will be done under the authority of their commander-in-chief, the governor of the state of Texas. So they can't be isolated and treated as though they are criminals. And that's another good thing.
Yep, and that's the thing. Now, we know that the federal government is in charge of, you know, these people, right? Of CBP and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Border Patrol. We know that. And they're not going to go against and say, okay, I'm going to risk losing my job. Some of them might, but on the whole, they're probably not. So we're gonna see what happens, because they've been using, you know, probably cutting them by hand, but also cutting these the things by hand. But also what they've been doing is using freaking bulldozers to cut them, bulldozers and backhoes and all kinds of other things to cut the wire, right?
Yeah.
You know? So if that's the case, then I've said it before, what needs to happen is these people who cut the wire manually, they need to lose a hand. All right? If they use a machine to cut it, those machines need to be blown the fuck up to get the message across. You know,
well, I'm sure that the authorities in Texas will define the limits of the rules of engagement. We are in unprecedented waters here. There is no telling how this is all going to shake out. But there's no doubt that something is brewing and it's serious. I think Governor Abbott has finally realized the straw that broke Texas Camel's back. And he ain't having it no more. So we're going to see how this all shakes out. And have you read that declaration that Governor Abbott put out? I mean, it is unequivocal what he said in that statement. I was truly impressed by it. It's not that long. It's not that complicated. But it is absolutely... hey, this is what I'm saying, and I mean it. It's like a middle finger to the Biden administration, a giant middle finger. If I may, Laurie, I'd like, you know, to kind of read it a little bit so you get the idea of what this governor is saying. I think it's quite remarkable. He wrote it on January
24th. Read on.
He wrote it
read
January 24th, 2024. And this is what he says. First sentence. Listen to this. The federal government has broken the compact between the United States and the states. The executive branch of the United States has a constitutional duty to enforce federal laws protecting states, including immigration laws on the books right now. President Biden has refused to enforce those laws and even violated them. The result is that he has smashed records for illegal immigration. Despite having been put on notice in a series of letters, one of which I delivered to him by hand, President Biden has ignored Texas's demand that he perform his constitutional duties. President Biden is violating his oath to faithfully execute immigration laws enacted by Congress, prosecuting immigrants for the federal crime of illegal entry. President Biden has sent his lawyers in the federal courts to sue Texas for taking action to secure the border. President Biden has instructed his agencies to ignore federal statutes that mandate the detention of illegal immigrants. The effect is to illegally allow their en masse parole into the United States. By wasting taxpayer dollars to tear open Texas's border security infrastructure, President Biden has enticed illegal immigrants away from the 28 legal entry points along this state's southern border, bridges where nobody drowned, and into the dangerous waters of the Rio Grande. Under President Biden's lawless border policies, more than 6 million illegal immigrants have crossed our southern border in just 3 years. That is more than the population of 33 different states in this country. This illegal refusal to protect the states has inflicted unprecedented harm on the people all across the United States. James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, and the other visionaries who wrote the United States Constitution foresaw that states should not be left to the mercy of a lawless president who does nothing to stop smuggling millions of illegal immigrants across the border. That is why the framers included both Article 4, Section 4, which promises that the federal government, quote, shall protect each state against invasion, unquote, and Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, which acknowledges, quote, the state's sovereign interest in protecting their borders, unquote. Arizona versus United States 567, United States 387, 419, 2012. The failure of the Biden administration to fulfill the duties imposed by Article 4, Section 4 has triggered Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, which reserves to this state the right of self-defense. For these reasons, I have already declared an invasion under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, to invoke Texas' constitutional authority to defend and protect itself. That authority is the supreme law of the land and supersedes any federal statutes to the contrary. The Texas National Guard, the Texas Department of Public Safety, and other Texas personnel are acting on that authority as well as state law to secure the Texas border. Signed, Greg Abbott, Governor of Texas. That's succinct and on point.
You know, there's one other, there's another document that Abbott probably needs to read and study in making his case, and that is the contract between the United States government and the government of the nation of Texas. When Texas came into the Union, there was a contract. He should look at that contract and also dig out that stuff, because there was a independent contract outside of our Constitution and stuff, which allowed the government to absorb Texas and make it a state. But there was a contract between the state of Texas, or at that time, the nation of Texas, and the United States government.
Yes, and my understanding is that they reserved in that constitution the right to form four separate states as well, conditional upon approval from Congress, as Article 4 requires, all in their constitution, because they were the only state in the Union not to enter as a former British colony or a former territory of the United States, but as an independent sovereign nation, the only one. And I think they are keeping alive that tradition and that history.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and bring Gunslinger into the conversation as well here. Sorry to interrupt. Hey, Gunslinger, happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday to everybody. Long live the Republic.
There is one other act that Abbott can do, and that is when CBP loads all those migrants on the buses and then heads off through the state of Texas. The state of Texas should stop those buses and arrest every one of those people on that bus and take them to jail.
Yep. Damn right.
That's a law in Texas. You can't be in Texas if you're here illegally. Period. Sure. End of story. Mm-hmm. You know, and you stop them that way also.
Yep.
And arrest the federal agents that will be on the on those buses, yep, accompanying those migrants, and arrest them. And arrest them on human trafficking charges.
Damn right.
Make sure you go to Houston Hobby Airport and Dallas International Airport and all that stuff where they're sending these people to take the flights out as well.
Arrest the bus driver. Arrest everybody.
Yep.
Arrest the pilots of the planes.
If you have to. Yep.
Yes. Because these people are allowing these guys to get on those airplanes.
That's right. The captain of an airplane is like the captain of a ship. So he has full authority.
Yeah, under the guise of perhaps they're being considered accessories to the crime of enabling illegal entry into the United States.
And yep. Human trafficking.
And human trafficking. That, yeah. And drug smuggling.
Human trafficking is what they're doing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know, it didn't matter in Nuremberg when I was just following orders.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
But you know what? It's really sort of ironic and perhaps even fitting that the Democratic Party is reverting to its original roots because
Sarge, I'm going to interrupt to correct you right now. It's not the Democratic Party. It's the Democrat Party. Get
excuse
that
me,
over correct. Your head.
My apologies.
I'm tired of this bullshit, and I
stand corrected. The Democrat Party, they are reverting to their original roots of slavery and serfdom. Because Gerald Nadler has let the cat out of the bag. He said, we need these people to pick our crops and do our domestic services. He said it out loud on the floor of Congress. He was backed up by Congressman Yvette Clark, who said that she needed the illegal aliens for electoral purposes in her district when the census is counted. So they're making it clear. They're out in the open now. It's a target-rich environment, and we ought to be firing for effect.
What they're talking about, what you just mentioned, what they're talking about is, and they've talked about this over and over and over, is what they call demographic destiny. All right? Demographics. They want to change the demographics of the nation to make it a majority-minority demographic. All right?
Yeah.
That's
in 1965,
Mike,
people said this was going to happen.
Mike, I'm going to correct you, too. Not Democratic, Democrat.
Yeah, Democrat. Got to say that. And in 1965, when they passed the Hart-Queller bill, people were saying what we're seeing now was going to happen, and they were hooted and shouted down. They were accused of being racist and everything else, and people said what we're looking at today was going to happen. And if we talk about the great replacement theory, we're called racist. When they talk about it, it's something that is supposed to be inevitable. You know, like rape, you might as well just lay back and enjoy it.
They don't call it racist.
Bring Ron Reck into the house, guys. Sorry to interrupt, but Ron Reck is in the house raising his hand, so I'm bringing him into the fold.
They don't just call us
Please continue.
Racist. They call us conspiracy theorists. There's an article in the New York Times that Bongino has used over and over and over again by the title of "We Will Replace Them."
Interrupt for just a second, but I've got two questions. Is the TMD the same thing as the Texas State Guard?
Texas State Guard is part of the Texas. It's roughly analogous to the Pentagon, the Texas Military Department or the Department of Defense. It's roughly analogous. It incorporates a number of agencies, principal of which is the Texas State Guard.
Uh-huh. And question number two, is the Texas State Guard, are they armed with ammo?
Yes, some of them are, although their primary focus up until now has been disaster relief, medical aid, rescue, and like that. They certainly are a military force in that they have the provision to be armed, and I believe all of their members are told to equip themselves with weapons that are military pattern and use military ammunition. So I think most of them already own their personal weapons that are suitable for military purposes, as is the purpose of the Second Amendment.
Wow. I answered that.
So, and then another thing I hope this does, I hope this revises in many states that are not lunatic anti-gun nuts. I hope it revises and restores to the place of prominence that state militias once had and be seen as an essential and necessary component that, in the words of the Second Amendment, necessary to the security of a free state. We need to get back to that understanding. We can see now, because lots of Democrats are urging Joe Biden to federalize the Texas National Guard so they are out of the reach and control of the governor. So we see now why we need a state militia to prevent this sort of thing from a wicked, evil, corrupt commander-in-chief.
The other question, though, on that, Sarge, is if he goes to federalize the National Guard there in Texas and the boys there in the Guard says, fuck you. You aren't my commander-in-chief. The governor is. Wonder what
well,
that's going
about
to
this.
Do.
I thought about this. And I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound like I'm a bit schizophrenic on this, because actually I am, but I'm speaking of my understanding, of the law and chain of command as I learned about it for over two decades. On its face, if they get an order that is cut from the Department of Defense through the Commander-in-Chief, and the order comes to the Department of Defense cutting, order them to report to federal duty, then on its face, that is a lawful command. And soldiers are required to obey all lawful order. Again, that's on its face. Now, having said that, we understand what the purpose of it will be because we officers, that's why officers don't take the same oath enlisted personnel do. You notice officers take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And soldiers, enlisted personnel, or rather enlisted personnel, whatever branch they're in, take an oath to defend the Constitution and to obey the orders of those lawfully appointed over them. They wanted officers to have to be able to use some discretion in what orders they're going to take. Now look, my head says that on its face is a lawful order. My heart says that the commanding officer, he told Joe Biden to go pound sand, and that's being polite, and they can either sign or they can refuse to obey his order. Because they know what the underlying intent of it is to enable an invasion of the United States. Now, again,
okay,
that's a matter of discretion and judgment. But if they're prepared to deal with the consequences of it, okay, I'm going to be all for whatever they decide. But I have to admit, on its face, it's a lawful order. Supreme Court has a decision called Perpich versus Department of Defense in which they held that the National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Armed Forces and can be federalized pretty much with some exceptions at will by the president. So there's this dilemma, and I'm not trying to pretend it's black and white either way.
Well, Sarge, I'll put it to you this way. There's a lawyer that on YouTube that does movies that talks about the lawful version of the movies, right? And at one point he had a judge advocate general talking about A Few Good Men. And what that guy said about that order in that movie that
It basically is a hazing order in that movie. Is he said, if that was a true order, and if it was a legal order, but it's morally wrong, they have the right. They should have the right to disobey that order if it's morally wrong. You know, that's the thing. If it's the underlying thing of that order, if that order is given by Biden or whomever.
Are you tired of struggling with dull, ineffective nail clippers that leave your nails?
Sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. I know you're doing your research. Make sure you come up with something good.
Yes, those pesky nail clippers, man.
Pesky nail
clippers. We need to talk the rest of the show about those ineffective nail clippers.
Sonya, he's doing his research. I know he's going to come up with something good. You keep doing that, man.
I'm trying to catch up with you all on this Democratic people's rights. I mean, being a Democratic person, I can understand that people have different thoughts and, you know, gesture on that. I don't seem to catch on to that. What?
But back to what my man was just saying. Yeah, there's a moral element to most lawful orders, but not every lawful order has a moral component. Like, you know, like,
my question, does a Democratic people have a different, you know, right than other people? That's what I'm trying to get to. Is there a difference in this?
How do you mean a Democratic people? What do you mean by that?
Like the Democratic Party. Okay, take the Democratic Party, for instance. Okay, they seem to have more power than a Republican Party. They're doing whatever they want, however they want to fucking do it, right?
Oh, well, that's
right?
True.
Yeah, okay, sure. So what gives the Democratic people more power above the rest of the people of the country? I don't seem to understand that part. How are they getting by with this shit? And nobody's doing nothing till now.
They call the Democrats, they say they're hypocritical about many things. It's not hypocrisy, it's hierarchy. All right? They're in power and you're not. All right?
Excuse me.
That means that Joe Biden's not going to go to jail, but if it was a Republican, that Republican would go to jail. Or if it was
Democratic people are more protected. That's what you just told me the answer, that the Democratic people are more protected than the Republican people.
No.
Right.
Ron, I'm gonna interrupt you right now, just like I interrupted Sergeant Mike. Democratic. They are Democrats.
Hey, wait a minute. If Joe Biden can misspell the same words, so can I. God damn it. The constitutional right to misspell the same words. I know I'm just fucking with you.
Listen, folks. Anybody on this call that calls them a Democratic Party, I'm going to interrupt. They're Democrats. They're not Democratic.
Yeah.
They're Democrats.
That is the name of the party. Does that stand for Democratic, too?
But that is the name of their party, Democrat Party. That's the name. That's the proper name.
I know. I'm just fucking with Boyd. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
Just trying to get a little comedy into this.
But this deal
in Texas right now, the deal, I believe in it, it's psychotic. And Abbott's doing a good job. I think he should have done it a little bit sooner. I really do. I think he kind of just gave him every benefit of a doubt. You know,
yes.
He's doing what he had to, you know, and this came to that point. But I believe they want this civil war. They want this to happen. They want us to go fucking banana ape shit, fat crazy, and fucking just fuck shit up for them. All for them. Then they're going to call martial law. So that means there won't be no fucking election. I think that's the plan. It's just so many arrows point to that to me. You know, and I didn't want to bring it all up to people and stuff like that, but it's just looking that way. What other reason would they have? Get more votes? I don't see that being anything
also,
happening. Most of these fucking people only speak English. They don't know what the fuck a vote is. You know? There's something else that's fucking wrong in Denmark, is what I'm saying.
Well, there has never been an occasion in the history of the United States where a presidential election was interrupted by any event. Not ever. Not once.
No.
Not even during that dust-up between the war, between the states. So it's never happened before. It will be unprecedented. And, again, I want to remind everybody, it's difficult to isolate a state. A state is asserting its constitutional authority and the United States Constitution in support of what they're doing. It is, now, see, you could isolate people, say the Branch Davidians in Waco, and have your will with them, or the people at, what was that, the guy in, with the sniper, Ruby Ridge. You could isolate that. You can bomb the people in Philadelphia, in Philadelphia with a helicopter and move, but when you take on a sovereign state with a military power, you got a different kettle of fish. And when you're asserting a principle that the majority of the country is agreeing with, the need to stop this invasion, even this senile clown and his wicked coterie that surrounds him and pulls the strings understands they got to tread very carefully.
And Dan Bongino has a point. There's only two things that can happen that's bad, and then both of them are bad for the Democrats. One, there's a shooting solution, and they force their way into the park to take over the park, all right? And two, they do nothing. The feds do nothing. All right, those are the two options, and they're both bad options for the Democrats.
Well, just think about it, though. Just think about it, my man. They're going to send in federal agents to enforce a policy that is horrifically unpopular with the American people and try to stop a governor who wants to do something. Remember, this is humanitarian, not only principally and foremost for the United States and its people regarding our immigration policy, but it also has a humanitarian impulse for the refugees or aliens who are being used by the Biden administration politically. There is no downside to the Republican Party and the governor of Texas for taking this action. There is no downside.
Excuse me. One moment, please. Sarge, I placed a link in the chat room. It's a 30-minute video. I think you'll be very interested in watching it.
Yes, Tim Cook. I pulled it up. I'm ready to watch it. When I get off the show, I'm gonna look. I like Tim Cook. I want to hear what he's got to say about it.
Oh, it's scary what he has to say. I mean, I like him too, and he's right on. And he's laying out some completely serious charges.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something though. Whenever I see something like this, I always try to think it through. Again, I think that the Biden regime, and that's the only way to describe it if you're being polite, I think the Biden regime is weighing the consequences for taking armed or enforcement action against the state of Texas. And they know that the prospects are not good of prevailing in a positive way for them. They know this. But I still like to think it through. They're also stupid, incompetent, delusional, fanatical, and insane, partially insane. They're also that. So given the fact they are irrational, there's no telling what they should do. So I want to think it all the way through. Let's look at the worst-case scenario. What happens if the federal government tries to make Texas yield by force? I'm telling you, here's what I think it will be. I think it will be an 1836 moment. People will flock to Texas from every part of the country. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions. That's what I think will happen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and I'm planning on going to Texas next winter. Ha ha. Maybe I'll be down there for the fun.
You might be there for a boy if something breaks. You never know. I mean, we got some really reckless, irrational, and delusional people in this administration. It's the worst I've ever seen, that I ever imagined
become the governor of the United States. And they are so reckless, delusional, fanatical, and echo-chambered, reinforced beliefs of people that they lie to think they can actually get away with forcing the state of Texas to allow a continual invasion of the United States by oftentimes terrorists, of which we have caught hundreds on the terrorist watch list.
Imagine how many get through that haven't been caught. That's the even scarier part.
It.
And then we do have Pianki in the house. I'm going to bring Pianki into the fold, you guys. So, Pianki, you are unmuted. Welcome to the show. Good to see you.
Thank you very much. You know, here's the thing. If everybody coming across the southern border was Catholic nuns, it's still illegal. No matter if they're criminal or what, it's illegal.
Yep.
And I stand with Texas. Those that want to sit at home on the couch, stay there. It's okay. Nothing wrong. But I'm standing with Texas.
By the way, Pianki, did you see that new electoral map that they drew for Louisiana?
It looks like
it's
a damn
diagonal line down the center of Louisiana.
You know, the people up in northern Louisiana don't even like crawfish. That's a whole different culture.
That's right.
So they're not gonna stand for that kind of shit. Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. In fact, part of that district elected Mike, what's his name? That's the current Speaker of the House. All right.
Yeah,
so,
Johnson,
yeah.
So Graves will still be in the district. Cleo Field thinks he – you know, Cleo Field is black, but he don't answer calls. He don't speak to nobody. It's another one of these power plays.
That's right. And remember this. Remember this, Pianki. Several decades ago, he was caught accepting bribes from somebody in one of the parks in Baton Rouge. And you can go find the video. He was caught accepting bribes in a fucking paper bag. From some person. All right, that's why I call him bag of cash. You know, that's what he did. He accepted a bag full of cash from some guy.
Well, you had what's his name taking money from Nigeria and storing it in his damn freezer, and Don Katrina,
yep. Oh,
he was
yeah.
Word to death.
Oh, yeah.
Float away.
Cold cash Jefferson.
Yeah, that was cold cash.
William Jefferson, after Katrina happened, he takes a deuce and a half over to, which is a government vehicle. He takes a deuce and a half over to his house and gets a bunch of cash out of a freezer.
I think he's serving 10 years, ain't he?
Nope.
Jefferson is in prison.
Yeah, he's in prison, yeah.
Yeah.
But
well, I really think that if we get through the election and Trump takes the oath of office, which my gut tells me he's not going to take the oath of office, Biden and that whole crew should all be arrested and charged with treason.
Absolutely.
Well, not only just Biden, but anybody that's been co-conspiring. And we know, look, when we have these conversations, we always say there's somebody behind the scenes. Well, there should be an effort to find out who that is behind the scene, bring them to justice. And if they are doing something or have done something treasonous, then they need to be severely punished. Well, if treason is shot.
Yep.
Yep.
Nope. The punishment for treason is specifically spelled out in the Constitution of the United States of America. and the punishment for treason is hanging.
Death by hanging.
Specifically, yep. Spelled out in the Constitution.
Yep.
You know, I was at a COS meeting this afternoon, and people are writing up bills, and some of the peculiars about them, that any electronic machines have to be made in America. I told them they should say Louisiana, then America. Even the paper on paper ballots should come from the United States, not no place else.
That's right. That's right.
Electronic machines should be made illegal for elections, period. End of story. I have nothing more to say.
All ballots should be cast on the day of election and counted on the day of election and reported on the day of election.
Yep. Shouldn't be election. Shouldn't be election day, a week, month, year, whatever. Should be election day.
One day.
Yep.
And anyone that's doing some fraudulent crap, they need to be punished. I set the damn penalty at a minimum of 20 years, but you know how I am. But no, they need to be punished. You have to send a message. You have to strike the fear in the people. Right now, people ain't afraid of nothing. They go out and commit crime. Look how they go loot stuff. They're not afraid. You got to strike the fear in them so they won't do that shit.
Absolutely.
Well, that's why when you got to strike the fear in people, that's why guns equal a polite society. That's why you need more guns in the hands of legal citizens, okay, and take care of these scumbags. And the more you take care of them, the more the other scumbags are going to say, hey, I don't want to wind up in a pine box 6 foot under. You got to fight fire with fire.
Well, just to make sure that we, as responsible conservatives, have the best possible understanding of the Constitution. The definition, the treason is specified in Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, and it only gives a definition, not a punishment. It says, treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession in open court. The Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture except during the life of the person attainted. So it doesn't give a punishment. It only says Congress has the authority to define what that punishment shall be. And that could, they wanted that to be variable according to the sense of the people in the time in which the punishment is administered.
Yep.
But I still say it's treason. And they ought to be hung. Let's put it that way. Sarge says if they're doing what these bastards are doing right now to us on the border, that ought to be a hanging offense. Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Sarge. Punishment. Back in the day when the Constitution was written, was hanging.
Yes, it would have been back then for sure. You would have been hanged, no doubt about it.
That's right.
And by the way,
why would we want to go against the wishes of our founding fathers?
Well, I'm just saying it's still carries the death penalty, though. Remember, they gave the electric chair to the Rosenbergs for espionage, which is considered a lower category of offense than treason. Treason is the ultimate offense against the federal government. Treason. They can't get no higher. And they gave the Rosenbergs a death penalty for espionage. So they're still on the books. However, whatever means they carry it out, the death penalty still exists, and it's treason.
Here's the deal, Neil, guys, with Trump. They basically given up, right? They've got people putting money into Nikki Haley in hopes that they can maybe force Trump to choose her as the vice president. Put that aside. They've given up on the fact that getting Trump not to win, number one, in the primary, he's going to win the primary. He's going to be the guy, right? And they've also given up on the fact that one, this guy in office is so goddamn bad that they're not going to be able to cheat for him. It'd be obvious, all right? So they're giving up on Biden. Now, that's not going to stop them from pulling some chicanery at the convention or whatever with the superdelegates. I'm not saying they're not going to do that. I'm just saying they know that if everything stays final and he stays running, he's going to get his ass whooped. And they ain't going to be able to stop it, right? So the thing that there's this thing called the Transition Integrity Project. And one of the things in there is talking about what happened in 2020 with the riots, right, in 2020. That's what they're planning on. They're thinking like we're thinking. When Trump gets in there and he takes the Oval Office, the riots are going to start again. You know, BLM, Antifa, all these different groups that are out there are going to riot. And the goal there is, and I hope Trump does it, is they decide to riot and go after these courthouses again or whatever. I tell you what, call them insurrectionists. Play by their rules. Call these people insurrectionists. Go find them, arrest them, and stick them in the gulag. And if we find out that, like, AOC and the squad and all these other people are supporting them, go arrest them and, bam, send them to the gulag as well. Or, you know, hold a trial and say, okay, we're conspiracy to commit insurrection. You know, that type of thing, you know. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, when Booth shot Lincoln and ran away, right, he breaks his leg and he ends up at Mudd's place, and Dr. Mudd sets the leg. You don't care. You're a doctor. You don't care. You set the leg. But in setting the leg, he put himself into the thing, and he ended up, I believe, Dr. Mudd ended up having a very stiff punishment on him because he set Booth's leg. You know?
But then again, and speaking on Mudd's behalf, he saved a hell of a lot of lives when he was in prison.
Yep.
As a doctor.
Yep. I get that, but that's not my point. He got put in prison because he set the leg. You know, because he basically helped Booth make somewhat of an escape because he set the leg. So there you go. So that's my point about these people. Because remember in 2020, all these riots were being supported. Antifa and BLM were being supported by the squad and the, you know, Schumer in the Senate and the Democrats in the Senate and all these other people, you know. So you've got to do something. You've got to not only go after the rioters, but go after their supporters as well.
And you got to remember, Kamala Harris was bailing them out.
Yeah, it goes back to the whole thing about you got to play by the rules that are set before you. Until we correct the weaponized
part of the government, the rules are that you weaponize the government against your enemies. That's the rules. Until it may not be right, but that's the rules. Until we correct that, that's the rules. You know? Therefore, Trump gets back in there. He can go after Jack Smith. He can go after Biden. He can go after Obama. Because everybody seems to think that this is this has been Obama's third term. All right, and if possibly he could possibly get a fourth term because they decide to run the first Wookiee, you know, Michael.
You mean Big Mike? Yeah.
Big Mike, the first Wookiee. But yeah. But I'm so happy though. About SARS, that this fucking case in Atlanta is falling apart right before our eyes.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I've never seen a public official who is making as boneheaded and tone deaf a response to the criticism as this fool Fannie Willis. It's rare when you see somebody handle something this badly, but she's managing to do it.
It is.
Now, here's the situation, though. It doesn't necessarily mean that the case is going to be over, although more than likely it could or should be. But it does mean that she and her special prosecutor can be recused. Now, that would leave Fulton County with two choices. Number one, to appoint a new prosecutor, or to dismiss the charges and try to reinstate them. Now, all of this is contingent upon a judge not just dismissing the whole damn thing with or without prejudice, which would mean, again, two different things. If he dismisses it without prejudice, that means the county is free to reinstate them and bring the charges up again with the new prosecutor. If he dismisses it with prejudice, it means they pretty much can't be refiled again. So there's a lot of variables here, but one thing we do have to understand, it does not necessarily mean case won't go forward, although it would certainly diminish the likelihood of it succeeding. Ain't no doubt about that whatsoever.
Right, and we know that the judge in this case is a noted Trump hater as well. So, I mean, he may not have a choice but to dismiss it.
You would think, this case is a loser. It's so compromised by the ethical lapses of this damn fool prosecutor that you would think that would be what any, what did James Comey say? No reasonable prosecutor would bring a case like this forward. But remember, these demon rats are fanatical. They really are. I'm telling you, I think it is impossible to overstate the extent of their fanaticism and their willingness to wage lawfare. They're like the Japanese in them bunkers at the end of an island campaign. They just won't surrender. You got to take cycle charges and flamethrowers in there. You got to blow them up and burn them out.
Burn them out, yep.
But source to Boy's point, I'd almost rather them not dismiss it than this judge be that fanatical and not dismiss it, because then what would happen is all the evidence about the – this is about the election, right? So all the evidence that's about the election and never got fully adjudicated gets into that trial. All right.
I think Gunslinger said it. I think he said he wants to see this go forward so Donald Trump can introduce all the evidence he's accumulated of election fraud in the state of Georgia, and it's massive. I've seen much.
Yep, I agree.
And then, of course, they got the other trial in Georgia about the machines that's happening as well from a much more fair Democrat judge. All right? So you got two of these things going on in Georgia that one is maybe not on its last legs, and the other one is just getting started, you know, about the machines. And the thing is I'm going, from what I understand, Mike Lindell is going to go down to Georgia and present his evidence in that trial about the machines. So, yeah, that's the thing that's happening.
Well, this is all really interesting. Like I said, we are in unprecedented waters here, and somebody's going to drown. Let's hope it's not our side. Every day,
right. The
waters not only get more unprecedented, they get deeper.
Yep.
You
and
know, the thing I can't
careful.
Understand. I'm sorry.
George, be careful. The problem with deep water, the problem with deep waters is whatever side it's dangerous for, there might very well be undertow, you know? And
yeah.
That's dangerous as well. Not only is it going to drag down one person, it's going to drag down everybody. And hopefully it drags down the Democrats and the fanatics, you know? Which it might very well be, but again, we'll have to see how this goes. You know, I've said it earlier about the trial in Florida has already been delayed, and she's going to probably delay it again until after the election. So that trial is basically over, you know, because if Trump gets in, he can say, okay, it's a federal trial, I'm going to drop the charges against myself, you know. So that trial is over with. The trial in Washington, D.C. is falling apart as we speak. He got smacked down by the Supreme Court saying, don't bring it. Let your thing go through the correct channels and then come up to us, you know. So Chutkin has to put a stay on the trial until the immunity goes through the appeals court, right? So that one's on I don't want to say permanent hold, but on hold for the time being until this immunity foible gets figured out.
Yep. Okay, you guys, it's Robert here. Now, I finally made it back. Glad to see everybody here.
I'm glad that our host was able to join the show after all. Yeah, we weren't expecting you to be able to get home in time to actually call in before the live show ends. So glad to have you. I held down the fort for you.
Robert,
I wasn't exactly
sure
how long that.
Are you gonna hijack your show back?
No, I think Lorianne's doing a great job.
Well,
no,
I just
I wasn't sure how long I would be tonight because I had a thing at my church. They had a concert that was done in Spanish, and I didn't understand a damn thing they said, but that's okay because it was music and I enjoy music and I got to run camera one. So I wasn't sure how long it would last. So that's why I wasn't sure if I'd be back in time or not, but I'm glad I got back.
conversation. We've been on pretty good conversation about this stuff and I'm sorry you missed it.
Oh, I won't miss it. I'll listen to the archives.
Ah, okay. Good for you.
Yeah, welcome to your show.
The other big story that's been happening, and it's an ongoing story, is the whole thing about the establishment trying to bribe Kerry Lake to step out of the race.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah,
it's pretty telling. It's kind of like, you know, this is, you know, it's not just about Kerry Lake in that one instance. I think it's symbolic of how common it really is. You know, that this is what happens behind the scenes that we're not supposed to see, you know. And so if it's happened in this case of Kerry Lake, you can imagine that it's very, very prevalent. You know, these backdoor deals, you know, I'll bribe you, you do this, don't run for Senate, blah, blah, blah. You know, and if it's not flat-out bribery, then it's blackmail or something like that. Like, this is how politics works in America today.
Yep.
Well, I know Joe Gibson knows a lot about, you know, the underhanded workings of politics, even at a local level.
That's what they, before we get to Joe Gibson, that's what they tried to do with Madison Cawthorn. The guy told him about these sex parties, whoever it was told him about these sex parties, and this was a Republican guy that was talking to Cawthorn at the time. He told him about the sex parties, hoping that he could get Cawthorn to go to one of the sex parties. But the problem is he expected Cawthorn to keep it a secret. Well, Cawthorn turns right back around and brings it to the press. He was supposed to keep it a secret and go and be blackmailed with some woman or whatever, you know, and not take it to the public. He took it to the public Well, he's out of Congress now, but that's not the point. The point is he did something that he shouldn't have done, that in their minds he shouldn't have done, and brought illegality out in the open.
Yep. And the problem is that, you know, it used to be that you could safely say that if you knew something was going on, that it wasn't really that prevalent. But anymore, if it has anything to do with going against the American people or against America, it's very prevalent, and they're doing it everywhere. Even down in Texas, I've heard there's a couple of things that are happening down there. But it's like here in New Mexico, we've got like about 100 miles of border, and we've got two Republicans are trying to push building that border wall there. And I'll wager that it won't pass, and this will be the second time. The first time, I think maybe they got two votes. I'm going to watch and see how many they get this time. But it's
right.
Prevalent.
Even if it does pass, your asshole governor is not going to sign it.
Oh, no, she won't. But you know, what I'm looking at is here in New Mexico, there are things changing. Like the last tried this with a border wall thing, the same two representatives, I think it's Stephanie Lord and John Block, were the two that wrote it, and they tried to pass it, and they were the only ones that voted for it. So I'm watching this time to see how many actually will vote for it and if they get more votes or not. And there's been several things that they have done over the past couple of months that the first time they tried this, you know, whatever it was, they didn't hardly get any votes. And this time they got more. So I'm thinking the state's slowly turning, but not fast enough.
Well, what do they say about an aircraft carrier? You can't turn it on a dime.
Mhm.
You know.
Well, you know,
I'm going to go ahead and bring a good friend in, Adam, into the fold here. See that he's raising his hand. So, hey, welcome on, Adam. And by the way, there is 13 minutes left of the live broadcast. So I guess this would be a good time to mention that. So if you're out there listening, call in now during the next 13 minutes before the live broadcast ends so that you can stay with us as we go into the bonus hour, 646-478-5284. All right, please continue.
Hello. You know, I'm listening to this discussion, and we're talking about all of these symptoms of bad policies, of bad actors. And one of the things that I get into a lot in these discussions is talking about whether or not we're ever going to actually hold the actors accountable. We're talking about passing bills and vetoing bills and all of that. What happens when these actors are making these bad policies that are harming the public they're supposed to be representing? What point do we, the people, decide that these people need to go or that they need to be punitively held accountable for the damage that they cause? So you've got the federal government acting up on the border, obviously, the policies of the Department of Justice and the Border Patrol and all of these groups. It smacks of the same thing that happened at the Bundy Ranch.
Yep.
And we never end up, when all this is over and said and done, none of these bad actors go to jail. None of them get held accountable. They just go on to continue making bad policies. We need to get at these bad actors, and we need them removed and replaced. And they need to go to prison, as an example, at a minimum. So we can continue to fight the symptoms, but we're never cutting the head off the snake. And I think that's the thing that we're really missing and the thing that we need to be talking about.
Yep.
Because today's bad actor and today's bad policy, we finally win that fight. They just create a new bad policy tomorrow, and we're just in another fight. They lived to make more policy, and that's got to stop.
Well, unfortunately, the snake is actually a hydra. That's why it's so hard to cut the head off the damn thing.
It is. I totally agree. So we, the people, through our own initiatives, should be able to gather up a collection of ourselves to, in mass, rebuke and take out bad actors, like everyone who voted for these policies. You know, they commit treason. They're committing treason on the record, and we do nothing. So at some point, we have to recognize it for what it is. It's not a democracy where, okay, we're going to commit treason as long as we get 51% of the representatives. We're not talking about the people, the representatives. To pass it, then I guess we just have to accept the treason or fight it in the courts, or and the courts, of course, are as corrupted as anything else, as we all know. We're not looking at this properly. We're not looking to take out these bad actors and hold them accountable at any level. And that start making examples of these bad actors, and I guarantee you some people will start straightening up.
Well, look at this immigration deal that Republicans are proposing to compromise with the demon rats about. Now, they are saying that they're going to allow. Now, get this. This is in the bill they're proposing has some sort of solution for the border, that they're going to allow 5,000. Now, in case y'all don't know, I mean, I know you're not Democrats and you understand mathematics. The 5,000 is a 5 followed by 3 zeros. And they're saying that they're willing to allow up to 5,000 illegal aliens to come across the Rio Grande every single day before they will shut the border down. So that means every month the Republicans are willing to allow 150,000 illegal aliens. Now, 150,000 a month comes to almost 2 million illegal aliens a year. So, yeah, I mean, even when they say they're going to fix the border, they wind up with a compromise that helps the demon rats. I mean, it is really hard to comprehend the depth of their duplicity and their complicity with this.
Well,
so let me ask you this.
Who
are they representing? Who do they represent? Right. They're representing themselves. So whatever agenda is being pushed in the House and the Senate has nothing to do with the interest of the people. Nothing. And if you look at London right now, it's completely overrun with immigrants. Completely. Yeah. The majority population there is now outnumbered. They are now the 30% of the population. The rest of it is African immigrants, Muslims. And they've completely destroyed the city of London. And France is going down the same path. And, you know, Denmark and several other European nations. And this agenda, which is being pushed, has nothing to do with the interest of any American person. So right now, we fought a war for taxation without representation. I would suggest that taxation with misrepresentation is worse because they presume to speak for me. And not only do they presume to speak for me, they harm me in the process of doing it. They're telling us that we like it.
Yeah.
We're going to do it. We're going to let 150,000 in.
Yeah, and they
know damn well that that's not what we want.
Yeah, and if we have the gonads to go and say, no, that's not what we want, then we're the bad guys.
Correct.
Well, the bad part about
no. It's government by and for the people. You are a public servant. You are not an authority. We need to use proper words.
Mm-hmm.
Because they describe themselves as the authorities. We need to stop doing that.
You are exactly right. That's what we talked about today, that the title should be public servant and not some of this hierarchy that they use.
Well, the only laws they should be exempted from are the ones that are in the Constitution, and I'm talking about the debate and speech clause, immunity from arrest for anything other than a breach of the peace or felony while attending congressional legislative meetings, and nothing else. They should be required to comply with every other single law that the American people are. But right now, whenever they pass a bunch of these laws, they frequently exempt themselves. And that has got to stop, too. Just what the Constitution says they have immunity in, and nothing else. We need to find people that repeal all that other stuff.
That's because there are
two
types of people in this country. There are the free people of the republic, and there are the citizens. The citizens are subject to. The free people of the republic are subject of. And they know how to play that game, so they are subject of law. In other words, that the law serves them. And that's because they don't play in the games of the citizens. They assume office. They never occupy an office. And words mean things in legalese, and that's all the things that they're doing, right? They assume office. Why do they not occupy the office? Because the office that was previously held by the republic no longer exists. It's that corporate entity bullshit. So they are misrepresenting. They go in and they speak as you while they are harming you. You're supposed to have a House of Representatives where there's one representative for every 30,000 people. Do you know how many representatives are supposed to be in this country right now? Based on the original Constitution? There ain't supposed to be 400-something. There should be thousands.
Mm-hmm.
Because how can one representative represent millions of people? They can't. And they rigged that game, that system specifically, to make sure that they could control it. There's no such thing as Republican and Democrat. They're both on the same party.
All I can say right now about that is, you know, we haven't tarred and feathered a politician in a long time, and it shows.
It's long overdue.
Absolutely.
Tarred
and feather, break out some gallows. Yeah, I'm all for it. There's some traditions we can bring back.
oh,
guys, how much longer we got?
I'm bringing in Joe Gibson into the fold. We got Joe Gibson on the line raising his hand, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him on into the party as well.
Oh, yes. How you doing, everybody? Adam.
Hello.
Adam, we're not under the Constitution anymore. So what are you talking about? We don't have a republic.
Oh, I'm fully aware of that. I'm fully aware of that. That's why there's two different types of people. There's citizens who are subject to the law, and there are people of the republic who are under the Constitution of the land. But we don't get to play in those arenas because they've tricked us into surrendering that at our birth, whether we're aware of it or not, right? So, yeah, they don't care about the Constitution. They absolutely despise the Constitution and make no effort whatsoever to abide by it. There's no such thing as due process. There's no such thing as freedom of speech. There's no such thing as freedom of religion. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all a bunch of crap broke down to make it sound good and make you think you're free, but really you're just a tax slave to the corporation.
Kind of makes you believe in God in a way, huh? Devil's greatest trick makes you think, you know, makes us think something exists and it don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they control what we want to know about God, too, through the 501c3 program, where they make sure that the church never rises up against the government again like it did during the Black Robe Regiment and the Revolution. So everything is about control, always.
Yep.
And that's what the misrepresentation is. It's to make sure we're always tax slaves. So when the Republicans say, okay, we'll make it better. We'll only allow 150,000 across. Who wanted that?
Yeah. I take a lot of flack from the patriot community, right? I always get messages and everything. People, why are you running for public office for? You know that you can't change nothing in a corporation. You know what I mean? Well, what am I supposed to do? Sit around and wait for you guys to come out of the woods and start playing? I mean, well, you know, listen, I'm going to freaking do what I got to do to try to restore the republic the best way I can. And I believe that going into the de facto and telling them about the du jour and giving me a stage and a platform to talk about this openly will be a better way of restoring our republic. It's another option on the table, you know, instead of, you know, because I don't see anybody else doing crap.
Yep.
Well, there is, I feel like, an awakening happening. It's not happening fast enough, but there is an awakening happening, and these attempts to start civil wars and crash the markets and everything else, I think, are an attempt to create a crisis to stop the enlightening. People are waking up to the games that they play in court and the contracts that they coerce us into and how they farm. I really think that a lot of people are catching on to those games. But that being said, we're still not doing anything like I said about these policies, the border policies or the local policies that harm the people. You look at COVID and all of these states that locked down their states and destroyed their own businesses and locked people in their houses under what was effectively martial law and told people they couldn't work and told them they had to get an injection and all of that. I mean, how many violations?
Crazy.
Right. How many violations of our rights? And by the way, that happened under Donald Trump, and Donald Trump didn't say a damn thing about it. So
I know.
I think I'm working really hard to get a vaccine out. You know, I don't.
Oh,
I,
that's because we were all sidetracked with Q. You know, sidetracked with Q and the militia movement.
Right.
You know.
He was in there saying, trust the plan. This is all a way to get the swamp drained and blah, 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 blah. Well,
we were to blame too, Adam. So. Adam, we were to blame too, remember, because we were on with Barry and everybody. Remember, we were on the bandwagon with everybody talking about, and nobody did nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And I we all held out some kind of hope, but I tell you what, that taught me a lesson. Put no hope in any one man. The only people... We, the people, have the power because government is consent by the governed. Their power comes from consent. We need to remove consent, and we need to figure that out. We, the people, need to figure out removing consent and holding these people accountable. So if we don't figure that out, we're going to continue to fight symptoms
because they can make policies all day long. There's a lot of them. So
me and Adam know each other. We were like, what we're talking about is we were in the Zoom rooms and doing them part of the militia, you know, all this crap, you know, and with so many and tied in with not involved with, but we're speaking with the people that were involved with that Michigan crap and everything. So, you know, it was a bunch of nonsense.
But you know,
when they got into go ahead.
That's the main problem, though, is it's been going on for so long that people just don't seem to realize that the power they've given up was theirs. They
right.
now think that the government is who has the power, and it's not. But until the people stop and start thinking about it and realize that the power is in our hands, it's going to continue the same way as it is.
Okay.
Well, look at the media. So when you turn on your news and somebody got shot, they say local authorities are investigating, blah, 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 blah. It's always authorities. Our local leaders are passing a new bill. They are not leaders. They are not authorities. They are public servants. Stop saying.
That's the tactic that they use on.
We are not a democracy. We are a right. We are guaranteed a republic form of government. We are not a democracy. And every time a politician says democracy, we ought to be suing their ass. Because you guaranteed us a republican form of government.
Adam, here's the deal. You know, just remember, to your point, just remember, when I don't know if it was Barbara Boxer or Feinstein or one of those two senators, when she was questioning a fucking general, like a 3 or 4 star general, and she said, she turns around to him, and he calls her ma'am, right, which is a military thing. You know, he's a 4 star general. He's been in the military for years. And she comes back at him and says, show me the respect. I work hard to earn the title of senator.
Barbara Boxer.
All right.
That's who it was.
Barbara Boxer. That's right. I work hard to earn that term.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You're a public servant. You're a public servant.
Correct.
Okay.
I will call you piece of shit if I want to. Because you worked for me.
You have no authority
to tell me how to refer to you at all.
She should be glad that that wasn't Sarge that she was talking to, because Sarge would have said something to that effect. I will call you a piece of shit if I want to. You know?
Well, I have to tell you, there is a little article in the Uniform Code of Military Justice about expressing contempt toward a public elected official. And it is a court-martialable offense. So you have to be careful if you want to avoid being court-martialed or disciplined in how you phrase it. Yes, I would say something to put her in her place, but I would have to be a little bit more diplomatic than the way you said. That is if I was still subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Right.
Well,
right.
When I was in the Navy, I would agree with that. But as a normal man or woman, I can refer to my representatives any way I want to.
And you should.
You work for me now. Right. And I can, if I'm respectful and I say ma'am and you give me that, that's where I'm breaking out. Well, I'll call you piece of shit if I want to, because that's what you are, for one. I was being nice, but now I'm not. I mean, that's exactly the way I would do it.
Now,
you took an oath to me.
Now, look,
you're not
going to
tell
Adam,
me what rules I have to follow and how I have to speak.
Adam, if you want to have a nice long conversation on consent, you need to talk with Ron Reck. He knows all.
About
that shit.
And by the way, folks, given the fact that we were just – go ahead, sir. I'll go after you finish.
Oh, I was just saying, I just think that – consent of the governed is the number one method of the people to remove these bad actors who make these bad decisions. We need to find a way to come together and revoke consent en masse from these representatives and pull them out of their offices and then, yeah, tar and feather them, do whatever you got to do to them. But that needs to start happening. And until these representatives, these misrepresentatives, start getting repercussions for their bad acting, they will just continue to do what they do. Oh, well, I guess that bill got overturned in the court, so we'll just go make another one. And they just do it with impunity. And nobody ever goes away. We still got Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and all of these Republican shills for the establishment that have been in office for 850,000 years. And we need to get rid of them. And we need to restore actual rule by law rather than rule by code and statute and corporation. And the only way we're going to do that is to revoke consent. We didn't sign up to be a citizen. We didn't sign up to be debt slaves. We didn't sign up for none of that crap. You imposed that upon us, and who are you to impose that?
A lot of the stuff in this whole fucking bill that is coming out about the border is not coming out from the House of Representatives. It's coming out from the Senate. And in that Senate, there's people like Schumer, but there's also people like Mitch McConnell, who's been there forever.
I've always called him Mitch McConnell because he just goes with the flow. So, the problem with the Senate is it was never meant to be a popularity contest like the House of Representatives. They were supposed to represent the state. And when they changed that, we basically just have one house.
Yeah.
So
well, he not only get rid of them representatives, but get rid of some judges. But representatives and U.S. senators should be paid by the state that they represent. And that money should be deposited in an account within the state.
Correct.
Within that state. Therefore, you would have more transparency and be able to see where the deposits are coming from.
Law they pass should have. Every law on the book should have a sunset clause. So revisiting and worth keeping.
Right. Was it the 12th or the 16th or whatever the amendment that changed it from the state appointing the senators to the an election of the senators?
That was the 17th Amendment. That was the 17th
Amendment.
Yep.
Needs to go away. That needs to go away.
Yeah, they are no longer anything more than just glorified representatives of the House.
Yeah,
they're supposed to be a popularity contest.
Yeah, they're literally a supernumerary House of Representatives. That's what they are.
Right.
Yep. And that was not the intent of the framers. They wanted the states to have a representative in Congress, and they wanted the people to have representatives in Congress, which is why the representatives were to be closest to the people. They wanted their election to be every 2 years, and that's why the senators have an election every 6, so they could be more stable and longer term in representing the interests of the states, and the House of Representatives would be more immediately responsive to the desires and wishes of the people they represent.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the only
but
thing
that's
going to stop
that. But we turned that all around.
Go ahead.
So anyway,
the one thing that's not being used by our House of Representatives is the blue slip.
What's that?
Blue slip is when if the Senate passes a bill or something that has appropriations on it or needs funding or something like that, the House of Representatives can send it back to the Senate and says, sorry, but that is our bailiwick. We are the ones in control of the purse strings, not you.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the Constitution demands
that all spending has to originate in the House of Representatives. Now, in the Senate, when they want something, they will send it to the House of Representatives so it can originate there. They find usually a toady in the House of Representatives who will introduce it in the floor or in some sort of committee in order to get the ball rolling. But the Constitution mandates all spending bills must originate in the House of Representatives.
Doesn't the Constitution also say that the government must do a budget yearly?
Yes. But again, and every 2 years. No, every 2 years.
What they've been doing is the goddamn continuing resolutions.
That's not a budget.
They could do it forever, guys. They got the Federal Reserve.
Right. And that's the thing. Yeah. What needs to happen, though, if they keep putting the fucking, if the Senate keeps putting the funding for Ukraine in the budget, what should be happening is that funding for Ukraine comes right out of the budget. I'm sorry. Power of the purse. You're done. Ukraine is done. In fact, we shouldn't be in Ukraine in the first place. Right?
No, we should be fixing our borders.
That's right.
And it shouldn't be tied to Ukraine funding at all.
Nope.
Well, a bill should stand alone. A bill should stand alone, and the gist of the bill should be included in the title. You shouldn't have to go thumbing through 4,000 pages to see what the hell this bill is talking about. And in doing so, you discover four or five, half a dozen other things.
Yeah, it is.
First of all, I want somebody to go through, and I want you to tell me how every line of this bill aligns with your constitutional authorities.
You know what happened when they tried to introduce a statute saying that all spending in the language of any bill or spending law that was approved, it had to provide a constitutional definition by pointing to the specific article in the Constitution that justified the spending. Every one of those attempts failed miserably. Congress doesn't want to do that.
Well, that has to be brought back by Article 5. I agree, exactly. You should be able to quote and point to the constitutionality of any bill that you sponsor and put forth before it's passed.
That's right. But it's not what they want. They won't allow it. They want to be free to do what they want to, damn the Constitution, full speed ahead.
Is that guaranteed those bills get a lot shorter if they have to go line by line and justify it in the Constitution?
Well, I think the solution is to do our very best to get people who believe in adhering to and being bound by the dictates of the Constitution. That is an almost impossible task, catered and indoctrinated in schools. There's no more civics being taught, but we've got to strive mightily to bring back the notion.
Yeah, and the bill should be a minimum number of pages. Hell, if you can't get across what it is that you're proposing within, say, four or five pages, well, hell, maybe you got something wrong. You shouldn't be trying to reproduce a dictionary in a bill.
Now, wait a minute. Will you stop to think that a significant portion of this population thinks that the Congress of the United States and taxpayers ought to pay student loan debt for all of the population? Our task is probably impossible.
The two statements made by two different people. One was made by Nancy Pelosi. You got to pass the bill to find out what's in the bill.
What's in it?
Right. And then the other one was made by.
Yeah, you got to love that. That's even better when they have like only restricted members of Congress or the Senate can view the actual legislation in a private room, you know. You have to get permission in order to view it. Like, that should happen. you know, so there's only this select few that are actually allowed to read it. And it's like that right there should be, there should be a law against that. Or an actual constitutional amendment that says you cannot do this. You cannot make legislation secretive. You cannot put gag orders on the very select few people that are allowed to see it and not allow them to talk about it with the press or the people that they represent. That that should be worthy of a constitutional amendment right there.
Yeah, well, it's going right. to need an amendment because we're going to rely on Congress to pass legislation to that effect. It ain't going to happen.
We don't need a constitutional amendment for that. That is supposed to be. Period.
That's correct.
Yeah, but they're the ones that have to either pass a rule, because remember, the rules of the House and the Senate are self-executing. They execute the rules of the House and Senate according to the Constitution. But here's the problem. If it's legislation, they're the ones that have to vote on it. I think the only way it can be done is through an amendment or a constitutional convention. They're just not going to do it because they are presently constituated.
Absolutely. They are not going to police themselves. It's common sense.
They just won't.
We've been talking about this forever. If they was going to do it, they would. That crazy rhetoric that Nancy Pelosi spewed off tells you that right there. We are not going to police ourselves.
For sure. Not with this bunch. Maybe we can elect a Congress that is actually has fidelity to the Constitution. Yes, I believe people like that would do it. We just don't have it with this bunch. Not enough of them.
Yeah, I think that's the problem is getting the people behind it, because the people can demand that of their representatives. The people can say, you know what, I'm not going to vote for you unless you promise that you will not only, you know, put forth a new constitutional amendment that does this, but that you will sponsor it, support it, and vote for it. You know, and if you go against that promise, then we will revoke your ass. You know, not just reelect you, but we will revoke you. You know, we the people do have the power to demand that our representatives do these things in our own best interest. You know, and we have the power to unseat those that will not hold themselves accountable. I could run for office and I would be somebody that would promise that, you know, and if I fail in my promise, then absolutely unseat me. As a matter of fact, I'll step down. You know, I will literally resign office if I go back on my promise and to the people that voted for me, you know. Like, this is kind of this kind of mentality is what needs to be restored. When we talk about restoring our republic, you know, when Joe Gibson talks about restoring our republic, I think that that's what it really means, is restoring we the people's, you know, will, or we the people being the boss of our government, not the other way around. Restoring the mentality that we are responsible for the government. So not only do we need our own elected politicians to be held accountable, we need to hold ourselves accountable. That's the problem. We, the people, the majority of Americans, do not want to hold ourselves accountable for the very people that have ushered in all of this unconstitutional, authoritarian, tyrannical bullshit. We are failing to be accountable to ourselves. And that right there, I think, is at the very heart of the situation. Okay, Rhett, done.
Well, that is why the framers gave us 2-year terms for representatives, so they would be responsible for us. But look what we've got. We've got career members of the House of Representatives. Remember, they've got to stand for election every 2 years, and many of them have been in there for 20, 30 years straight.
Well, another thing, Congress is never going to term their limits. And not only should there be limits on the terms that your representatives and your U.S. senators serve, but also should be limits on government officials, period, and the bureaucrats, the heads of these agencies. they should be termed out after 24 years. Hell, the airline industry does that with its pilots.
Well,
right.
You know how it is. They got to vote on it. They're just not going to vote
right.
on it. They're just not.
I mean, you know, I get what he did in the 40s with FDR when the Congress came back and said, no, your term limit is to 2 terms and that's it, right?
Yep.
So if it's good enough for the President of the United States, why isn't it good enough for, you know?
They said 2 terms was good enough for George Washington, and now that'll be good enough for anybody. That's really what the originators of the bill were arguing. Well, George Washington set the example that ought to be the model for every president because he was the greatest president.
Yeah. Yep. It only took what essentially was a dictator to change the rule. All right.
Mm-hmm.
He can't argue that FDR was kind of a dictator. All right.
He kept
getting elected, but look at some of the stuff he put forward. I mean, he got hammered. He kept getting hammered by the courts, and he wanted to fucking pack the courts, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
this thing was the National Recovery Act, and the Supreme Court was constantly finding aspects of the National Recovery Act as unconstitutional. He couldn't stand it because that was the platform on which he ran for office. And he was really
kinda
mad.
Makes you wonder, kind of makes you wonder what they would say if we suddenly told them that they had to go back to the way that the things were done when this country first started. When Congress first started, they had to pay. They could not live in Washington, D.C. They lived on their farms and worked their farms. When they had to go in for a session, they paid their way to go to Washington, D.C. They were paid while they were there, and then they had to pay their way back.
Yeah, and the reason they located in Foggy Bottom, D.C., was because the weather was so damn miserable, nobody wanted to stick around there with the mosquitoes and the swamps and everything else. They wanted to get their business done and get the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
Now they made it too damn comfortable for them.
Absolutely.
By the way, you know, I'd like to tell you this. Look, I consider most of you folks here on this program my friends, and I've been sending something to my friends that I thought they might be amused by. So I got something I'd like to send so you all can look at it. I already sent it to Brother Bianchi. A friend of mine who was in the same outfit I was in Vietnam sent me a link to a video where it shows him in his tank. And then he says, I'm pretty sure that's you following me in your tank. And sure enough, I'm pretty sure it is. So I'm going to put a link to it in there if you care to look at it. You can see my buddy in 33 seconds of the video. And I come on for about 4 seconds at 37 seconds of the video. It's on YouTube. So I'm going to post it there if you care to take a look at it. There's the link.
That is new.
Sure.
That sounds like fun.
Anyhow, like I said, my buddy's on at 33 seconds of the video, and I come on at 37 seconds giving the peace sign to the cameraman who was filming me as I'm running down the road when we're on a convoy escort mission.
I'm going to save that shit as a favorite. I got to be able to access
too.
That thing later on.
Yeah, we'll keep the link there in the chat room.
No, I just got it. On my computer.
All right. I got it. I'm liking it, and I'm saving it as a favorite, so I don't lose it.
Yep, I got it on my computer now. It's one of my favorites.
Okay. Like I said, my buddy's on at 33 seconds of the video. He's putting on a CBC helmet, and then right after, he and his driver, you see him and his driver setting up in their tank. I am rolling away from the camera and giving the peace sign to the cameraman.
Agreed.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's cool.
Yeah, that was kind of amusing. I thought folks take a look at it.
You say it was at 30?
I come on, like, so my buddy comes on at 33 seconds, and I come on at 37 into the video.
What the hell? Sorry, Slinger, I thought you were,
and
sorry, you son of a bitch. I thought you were a white guy.
I come on at 37. My buddy who sent me the link to the video is on at 33. He sent me the link to the video. He was the tank commander in Charlie Company. And he sent me that link. And by the way, Gunslinger, I know you appreciate big guns. I'm sitting up there in the cupola behind a 50 caliber Browning M2 heavy barrel machine gun.
Oh, shit. Damn. Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, Sarge, you know, there's only one bad thing about this. It's
What's
the
that?
Back of your frickin' head.
Well, you see my face for a moment or two. if you're not familiar with the fact they did have tanks in Vietnam, well, that's about a 6-minute video and it shows some of the operations they were
in. All these years, I thought you were a white guy.
Yeah, well, you
bitch.
Damn,
you said you lied to me, man.
I told you I am white supremacist adjacent.
Yeah, Sarge totally tries to represent himself as a white person.
I am white supremacist adjacent. So that's close enough.
Sarge, you know Sarge.
He's an honorary member.
Sarge, you know I do battle with you anytime. You know that.
I know that. And like I said, we might be headed to Texas.
I hear you.
Just might be.
So, hey, Joe Gibson, while you're on and alive, give us an update on your campaign and the latest on their effort against you. Like, what's going on?
Well, I can only assume that they're going to try to play that DUI card. I got a big debate yesterday with the lawyer. You see, North Carolina has a Good Samaritan law. Meaning that if anyone has, like, for instance, now they're claiming, this is what happened. Obviously, I was exposed to, everyone knows the story. I was exposed to fentanyl, and it came back, it was in my blood. So there's no doubt about it. Now, obviously, I was making an undercover drug buy. I bought 27 grams of fentanyl and 42 grams of crystal meth that day. Now, a lot of it, like, I was, you know, so I put some of it in my cigarette pack. You know, because remember, I'm in a drug dealer's house. I'm in a drug house, you know, making a deal, you know. And, you know, so I I'm putting stuff in my pockets, you know, trying to, you know, conceal it or whatever. I put it in my cigarette pack. I guess one of the bags opened up. That's the only thing I can assume. And it spilled out inside my cigarette pack, and I smoked it. I ended up smoking it. And because, let me tell you something, when I lit up the cigarette, like, instantly I got sick. I mean, I was like, oh, and I got nauseous. So I pulled over. Well, anyway, make a long story short, that's the DUI, my DUI charge. So in North Carolina, if you're having a drug overdose or you're sick from drugs, there's a Good Samaritan law. You cannot be prosecuted. So if, like, for, you know, for, like, if you're caught with the drugs or if an ambulance comes, like, to rescue you, that's in the good – that's what I should have said that first. So you can't be prosecuted or the person who called the ambulance. So it's called the Good Samaritan law. Well, I'm arguing with the lawyer, and the lawyer's telling me, oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, no, why is that a good – that's – so I'm thinking maybe he may be on the take now, this lawyer. Thinking he's selling me out, you know? So I don't know what he wants to do with this lawyer.
Yeah,
because
I remember
you
and I chatting about this, and you looked up the law, and
yep.
I remember you and I chatting about it, and I was playing, like, you know, I was playing, like, the asshole judge or the asshole prosecutor and trying to, like, punch holes into that argument. Remember that? Yeah, that was, what, a couple months ago or something? And, you know, and... Yeah, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm just trying to prepare you for what they're going to try to do if you pull this argument. And it's kind of sounding like even your own lawyer, like, I'm being proven right. You know, that was a couple months ago that we did this back and forth where I was pretending to be the asshole prosecutor. And it's like now you're telling me that your own lawyer, you know.
Yeah.
Is
well, I don't know what to do now.
It's like, holy shit, I didn't expect that.
I don't know what to do because the law is the law. I mean, I brought this question up many times. How do I enforce a statute? I mean, how do I enforce the law? What do I do? You know, I don't know what to do. So, I mean, I can't go in there and take this thing to trial.
Well, number one,
I'm
not guilty.
Shit was in my
number
blood.
Two, you go to a jury. You do not take any deals.
Yeah, I know, but I go to a jury and they convict me.
You claim not guilty, and you present your case. You know, even if you have to get a new lawyer, you are paying your lawyer. Your lawyer is representing you. And if you have a lawyer that's not willing to apply that law in your case, then get a different lawyer. Get one who will.
Yeah.
And then, therefore, you're going to force the jury to hear what that law says. And
does everyone know what we're talking about here? And let it go to the jury. Do they know about the Good Samaritan law? Does everyone know what I'm talking about here? It's for drug overdose.
Yeah.
People, because
right.
Yeah, you were a cop. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So am I right, Sarge?
Yeah, it holds people harmless for good faith efforts they make in an attempt to rescue or save someone.
Yeah. So now I wasn't driving. I was in the back of the ambulance. The cop, the trooper shows up, Sarge. I'm not even driving. He never gave me no sobriety test. He never gave me nothing. As a matter of fact, the questions in the police report, I got a copy of the police report. He asks me how I'm feeling. He says, I check out fine. My eyes are not dilated. I could talk fine. My speech is clear. He does all this. Then he arrests me for DUI.
Did he give you a horizontal gaze next Gomez test?
What's that? What do you mean? I didn't hear you.
Well, that's when he tells you, holds up his finger and tells you to follow his moving finger without.
No, he didn't feel the need to. No, he said he didn't feel the need to in the police report.
How much your eyeballs bounce at the end of the movement, and they can kind of tell whether you're under the influence.
He said he felt he didn't need to do that because I answered all his questions fine. That's what he says.
I don't know what to say, man. I'd have to read the trooper's report. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, but no, Sarge, if you write a report and you say the guy's fine, and then you arrest him for DUI, what kind of sense does that make? You know?
Look, this guy's almost had a drink.
Even the officer didn't think that you were, there's a lie going on here. Because obviously...
Yeah.
If you pulled over and somebody was concerned about you, called the ambulance, and you're saying, I'm feeling really dizzy, I'm pretty out of it, that's why I pulled over, that's why I'm sitting here, and all of that, and then the cop writes up the report completely contradicting it. So that's even contradicting, why the person, called the ambulance to fucking begin with.
Exactly.
As the officer, it's like a double whammy fucking stupid report that this cop wrote.
But
I don't understand it.
But hang on.
And then
report
says it's true, like you said, how can you be arrested for DUI for being under the influence cop said in his report that there was no sign of it?
Hang on. I think
Either
he did
way,
it on purpose.
Bullshit.
Hang on. I think he did
bullshit.
It on purpose. I think he did it on purpose so the charge would get thrown out. Because he found out I was working undercover. I think that's what happened. Now that I'm thinking about it, why would a state trooper write something up like that and then arrest me for DUI? It makes no sense. I think he arrested me for DUI and he realized he made a mistake and he wrote that report. That's what happened. Somebody made a phone call for me. That's the only thing I can think of.
He could want you, to be not guilty and have this go to a jury.
Yeah.
And he might actually be willing to go up on the stand and just let his report get completely ripped to shreds.
Yeah. Yeah. He could be doing that to cover his
But he'd be making an assumption that you would be asking for a jury trial. You could always destroy
it. he wants it thrown out. Yeah, these cases very rarely go to a jury, very rarely. Yeah,
but you always have the right to demand one, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
So, you know,
well,
you,
now,
back
now,
in,
yeah,
you can't,
you
know, you can't, you can't
like
factor
do,
that in unless you make an agreement with them beforehand, and that's what you're going to do, and that's the intention. But then that would
that's
be a conspiracy to commit a crime.
Sarge, what we're banking on now is the prosecutor does the right thing and throws out the charge because I was working undercover. That's what we're banking on now.
So long
you know?
As you don't take a plea deal, they're going
no,
to try to
no.
bribe you with very tempting plea deals, and you
I
know that's
no.
going to be their strategy.
Yeah, and
when
I'm
you
telling
keep
you,
saying, no,
people,
no, no,
yeah.
we're going to bring this to a jury.
And most
no.
people in a DOI, when they got the certified results back and you're blowing over 0.08, well, that's what it was in Illinois, and you're blowing over 0.8, most people take the plea.
Usually
it involves a period of supervision, and your life is suspended for maybe 30, 60 days, maybe 90 days, and you get it back. Plea
but I didn't blow nothing. I didn't blow nothing. There was
you
nothing
know,
blown. There's nothing to blow.
That, I don't know what to say, man. I don't know. I don't know how to explain that.
Hey, just
I'm refraining from
just,
telling everybody about
I'm
my
gonna,
own DUI story. I'll wait. I'll hold off on that. But just, if you want to hear my story, I'll tell it. But
listen,
I want Joe Gibson to have his updates first before I get into a long
yeah,
rant on my
story. Well, everybody, what
well,
do think we need to hear her story?
Here's something to consider, okay, with these charges. Even though you were undercover, you got busted, okay? And maybe they are doing what they're doing to you to actually protect you as an undercover informant so that it does not, you don't appear as a, and you won't be found out as an undercover informant for your own safety.
I don't know. Not a DUI. A DUI wouldn't save me.
You mean
you know,
it was some
know.
Sort of indicator that
well,
he's not a protected
gotta,
person?
Hey, Joseph, you got to remember, okay? Drug dealers and drug users get busted all the time, okay? And, you know, when they get busted, they end up in court and blah, 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 blah. Well, you got busted.
Yeah, well, I don't want to go that route again. We did that back in the 1990s, remember? And it's been freaking 9 years in there. You know? No thanks. I don't want to be protected.
Well,
I'm all done.
They could be running you through the ringer like this to protect you, and then somehow you're going to get off for some, for some stupid thing that the trooper may have done or something like that, and you know you're going to be dismissed, you know, and your charges will go away and you'll walk
I hope
to
so.
Court a free man, but to the people that you were busting you look like just one of them, you know.
Well, we'll see. But
yeah.
Bottom line is this. I think he asked for a continuance because I told him, I said, I want to wait till after the primary to go take this to trial. You know, I mean, I can't go to trial right now and run a campaign. You know what I mean? I mean, damn, we got to wait till after the primary. You know? Shit. So he understood my lawyer.
Donald Trump defense. You and Donald Trump got something in common.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I need to give him a call, man. I need to call his campaign.
Well, maybe you
somebody
shouldn't wait. Look at all the attention that you've already been getting. Maybe you shouldn't wait. Maybe you should bring this to trial. Maybe you should make this all in light because, you know, before the primaries so that voters can see, you know, exactly how they're fucking with you, because then everything that happens in court, every single piece of evidence becomes public record, and that can be part of your defense. You know what I mean? So it's like you might think that, you know, it's a little bit of a gamble, but, you know, the very thing that you think will work against you in your campaign, and therefore you want to hold off on, you know, getting a, you want to get a continuance until after the primary. The reverse strategy could work in your favor, because right now, yeah, you know, everybody's seeing how they're prosecuting Trump. Everybody's seeing how they're prosecuting conservatives. Everybody's starting to see how corrupt not only our federal government is, not only how corrupt our Congress is, but how corrupt our judicial system is, all of that stuff. So, you know, all of those factors could very well play in your favor if you do proceed and go, nope, I'm not going to do a continuance. Nope, I'm running for office right now. I'm going to face this right on. I want, you know, I am not guilty. I will present my case in front of a jury, and I'll let the jury decide, just like it's the same strategy that I told you about with the voters. You know, keep fighting to be on the ballot. It's what I wrote when they were deciding to not to try to remove you to, on the ballot. I said the same thing. Let the voters decide. Let him speak for himself. Let him answer those questions. Let him be questioned by the people in his district. And the people in his district might very well decide that because of his experience, because of his story, because he absolutely has been at the effect of how corrupt our government really is, that's an asset to the voters, right?
Yeah.
So the same strategy could work for you here as well. Bring it to the jury. And then that can be part of your campaign. Hey, I'm going to trust the jury. Just like I'm going to have, I'm going to trust the voters with my fate, whether or not I get elected, I'm going to trust the jury on my fate, whether or not they find me guilty of DUI or not.
Well, before I forget, I told you guys already. I mean, if nobody out there wants to help me, that's fine. But I need help with the phones, man. I know there's some people out here that ain't got good phone quality voices, and I know that, you know, I understand that, but. There's, you know, I need some people that know how to call people, and I need to contact these voters. I need a couple people. I'll pay you. I don't care. If I got to pay you by the hour, I don't care. But I need to work these phones, man, so, and start, like kind of like right away. At least 1 or 2 days. Just, you know, that's it. That's all I'm asking for. You know, maybe somebody call 50 callers, you know, because it'll take a long time. It'll take about 4 hours to call 50 people, you know, believe it or not. You know, so... I mean, so whoever's available, let me know, you know, or email me or whatever. We can work out. You don't have to, no script you got to go by, you know, just, yeah, you guys are pretty well awake. You know what time it is. You know what to say. So if anyone thinks they're up to it or they know what they're doing, you know, I mean, because I'll tell you what, that's what AOC does. I mean, I get emails all the time. They let me know how, you know, these campaigns, how they do it. And that's what they do. Phone bank. They just harass, just constantly calling voters. And that's the right way to do it.
I agree.
I yield.
You yield. Yeah. I'll see if my wife would like to do something
that's
like that.
That's true, but I think, you know, if you have people – oh, sorry, Robert, sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I think my earbuds, people are starting to fade out.
Comment.
Hang on, I got to switch over.
I just made a comment. I have a 111 number raised his hand, so I let them in too.
That could be John Doe. John Doe likes to sit back and listen, and it's been, so is it John Doe that we have on the line or somebody else?
I have no idea. I don't know, either John Doe or Naj.
Yes, it is. I just wanted to make sure I was on the line before it got too late, and then I wouldn't get in at all.
Yeah, good point. We got 15 minutes left, so... we have Snowman James also in the switchboard that's just muted. So Snowman James, in a little bit, will unmute you. Just stay muted on your end if you want. But the switchboard will shut down here in about 14 minutes. And so we just want you to be able to speak if you want to, but otherwise just keep yourself muted on your end. Hopefully that's okay. And you can just continue to listen and then chime in whenever you want to.
Tell again. Tell
me. We're here.
You guys know, that was that Rambo movie. Remember when he cuts his face? He goes, quickly, rose me a nose. And torturing him.
Yeah.
They don't. Rambo. Rambo, you're not expendable. Rambo, you're not expendable.
Yeah, that was Rambo 2. That was Rambo 2 with, I actually think, like, Rambo 2, I actually liked. It's one of those, you know, rare movies that's a sequel that I like better than the original.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and, you know, along the lines of Terminator, I liked Terminator Judgment Day better than the original. I think Aliens was better than the original Alien. So very few, you know, movie, you know, sequels actually out-compare the original. That's one of them, was Rambo 2.
Yeah.
Anywho. But, yeah, you know, just some thoughts to consider as we were talking about there, Joe Gibson, you know, proceeding to fight against this DUI charge and getting yourself a new attorney that's willing to apply that Good Samaritan law.
Over the last four years, I've had six attorneys. So I think I'm about done with hiring attorneys. I'll go with a court-appointed attorney after this. That's it, man. $2,000, $5,000, $4,000, $6,000. That's it. I'm not giving those maggots another dollar, you know?
And then the public defender, you know, they're not going to be any better, you know, but at least, you know. But then in order to get a public defender, you have to qualify via income guidelines. So, you know, if you have enough income, then
can
you can't even get a public defender. You're pretty much forced to, you know, pay for what you get.
You know, I can hide it. Whatever I make. I'll tell you what, this coming year, I need to find some work because, you know, that's about it. So, I saved up enough money to do what I'm doing right now, but that's it. Starting to run low now. I'm going to have to go back and get a job, be in a job or something.
Yeah.
If I don't win the election. I mean, if I win the election, then, you know, obviously I'll be working for the people then, you know.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, you guys are going to see me on
the
news, man.
The other part of the work that you need to do is, you know, really getting your research done on your opponent. And find people that, talking about his voting record, talking about anybody that had complaints about him, anybody that, you know, people might not want to speak up because he was a former chief of police. So there's the intimidation factor for people not to speak up against him.
Mm-hmm.
And
I got,
you know, you
got
to try to tap into that, I think.
I got a bunch of emails from a few of the people in my county, actually. So, matter of fact, it was yesterday. They're telling me that they support me and everything, saying, you know, hey, there's a lot of people that want you to win, one guy said. He said, a lot of people want you to win. So, and it gave
That's
me
awesome.
Some kind of advice, you know, some advice and stuff, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's good news, man, when somebody says that, you know?
Yeah.
I went out today and hung up 25 signs, you know? So, man, along the Highway 220, right, we're going to build the casino. We're all along that strip there. I put a bunch of signs.
Nice. Because, you know, that's just another money laundering scheme. They want that casino because casinos can hide a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. I put on one of my flyers. I put down hang on, let me quote it right. I said something about Rocky. Hang on, let me tell you what I wrote. I put Rockingham County's land will not be traded for slot machines. So I put that down as one of my slogans. Freedom,
you know,
cannot be gambled away.
You, talking about North Carolina land, I have my best friend in Minnesota. Her niece has a farm in Where is she at? I'd have to look. But anyways, she's looking at this 330-acre farmland in North Carolina that she's looking into to farm it. And it's right there in your county.
And
I was like, oh, holy shit. It's right there in your county.
I know what land she's looking at. I know exactly where she's looking. It's right down my road.
Yeah, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And I think it's a section of land that, you know, people like Bill Gates or China and stuff want to buy. She's eyeing it because she has like an organic farm and raises cows and stuff like that. She wants to get more land. And she's like, I love this property, you know, like this is awesome. And so I thought of you because I was like, holy crap, because she posted about it and showed where it's at. It's like, yeah, it's right there in your district.
Yeah, Rockingham. I mean, we got a lot of beautiful farmland, a lot of beautiful woods. I got woods behind my house, you know, where I go hunting and everything and whatnot. And it goes for miles and miles to these woods. I mean, you know, and they want to tear that shit down, man. You know, they want to cut into it. No way. You know, leave it alone. You got nice creeks that run through there and everything, you know. I mean, come on. You know, we got bears and you know, all kinds of wildlife, mountain lions, you know. I mean, man, I don't want that stuff to go away, you know.
No, I don't blame you.
I should maybe try to put you in touch with her. Her name is Katrina. She's an agricultural enthusiast. She is she just celebrated 13 years as an Army reservist.
Really?
And the land is, let's see.
Yeah, where's it at exactly?
One bedroom, one bath house, high speed internet. It's 44 acres. 44 acres with a cabin in Rockingham County, North Carolina, for $375,000. And she has 91 pictures of it, of this area.
What road is it on?
Yeah, she's good people.
Tell you what road it's on?
Let's see. Let me go.
It's got to be Highway 65.
Mossy Oak Properties, Eastern Northern North Carolina.
That's a realtor.
Oh, yeah. It's all surrounded by forest. I'll send you, let me send you the, hopefully, I'm not sure if she has it. Oh, she does have it set for public. Good. Okay. Let me send you
we'll take a look at it.
The link, it's the first photo. I'm sending you a link to the first photo of the post. You should be able to get back to the original post.
All right. Yeah, we got some beautiful land right here. Is Adam still on here?
No, he left, and so did.
Apparently he got another call on the other line, and then his call dropped earlier. So
right now we've got
Mike
about 2 minutes.
Well, I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah. Who? We got about 2 minutes before the recording ends.
Yeah, maybe that'll be a good time for me to tell my DUI story is when we're in no man's land and it's not part of the recording.
That's the way to do it.
Who do we still have on? I mean, I think everybody's still on. I mean, right now, before the switchboard goes down and goes dead, I'm still showing what we have. Boyd, we got Sarge, we got Gunslinger, we got Pianchi, Joe Gibson, obviously, John Doe, you, Robert, and Snowman James. He's still kicking back listening, but he is unmuted if he does want to chime in. So that's who we got before we go into no man's land here in a couple minutes.
Awesome.
Where's Sarge?
There's a big trucker convoy headed to Texas. Looks like maybe as many as hundreds of trucks. I hope they're bringing lots of razor wire and ammo.
No, he'll be pulled over, Sarge. Sarge, he'll be pulled over.
It'll actually come through New Mexico, but it'll be down on the southern side. It goes through Las Cruces or something like that, down south.
Why would somebody announce that? Why would they announce that?
They're announcing it in order to get as many as they can.
No, Sarge.
They want to get as many trucks as they can in the convoy.
Yeah, convoys are against the law, you know.
No, actually, convoys aren't against the law. I mean, convoys that are designed to obstruct traffic are.
What's a convoy, Sarge?
A convoy is a group of vehicles organized for road movement together.
Okay, you're obstructing traffic. You're obstructing the road.
How's that obstructing traffic if you're adhering to the rules of the road?
I
agree with you, Joe. It could be an offense if you're not adhering to the rules of the road and you're running it so in a manner to obstruct traffic. But if you just lined up on the road, you got every right to be as many as you want to. Going down the road, you stop at the stop signs, you yield, you signal your lane changes. Hey, there's nothing illegal about it.
Okay.
Exactly. We're going to have to, revive the whole concept of, Smokey and the Bandit and stuff. I'll have to re-upload the song Eastbound and Down. You know, Eastbound and Down, loaded up and trucking. We're going to do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
I just recorded that.
Yeah. I'm just saying that. Yeah. Look, like I said, Joe, it is possible they could do something that could be considered a traffic violation. And not
Sarge, right here, Sarge.
Seating together in concert.
In the U.S., truck convoys are illegal. They create havoc on the roads and impede interstate travel. They also invite tailgating, reducing the reaction time of truck drivers and reducing the ability of police to stop a vehicle. Even when they're legal, they are not safe. They're prone to stalling or even causing collisions. I told you they're against the law. Sarge, you're a state trooper. You should know that.
No. You just said two contradictory things in that statement. Even when they're legal, they're not safe. So, I mean, it's possible to be doing something that's legal and unsafe.
It's illegal, Sarge.
According to what you just said.
They're against the law, Sarge. I'm telling you right now. I don't agree with it. I'm just letting you know that they're against the law, though.
Well, if you have 50,000 truckers, good luck, law enforcement, to try to stop and pull over 50,000 truckers and cite them.
It's the Emergency Act.
Wait for the court cases to happen. 50,000 truckers appear in court because they're all pleading not guilty.
Call the Emergency Act.
No other court cases will be able to...
Joe, in what state is this... I mean, they may prohibit them in some states, There's not a blanket prohibition on truck convoys. I'm telling you that right now.
Here's the actual deal. It says hundreds, possibly thousands, of big rigs will be heading for Eagle Pass in Texas, Yuma in Arizona, and San Jose, or whatever it is, in California, from January 19th for the four-day Take Back Our Border event. That's from the Daily Mail.
The event. The event. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a state or two that forbids convoys, maybe. But there's no blanket prohibition on convoys. I mean, there isn't.
I don't like it,
not even as far as the law is concerned.
I don't like this event thing. I think it's a provocateur. I think it's a setup, man.
It might be a Canada incident like Trudeau did. It could be. Yeah, it could be. I'm not going to deny that.
The link is in the chat.
Yeah, but look at how shitty that made him, though. All of those efforts that Trudeau made during the Canada convoy with COVID just made him look even worse, and it just fueled people even more. You know, I encourage it. It's like, you know, this is something that has an impact. You know, this is a show of force. You know, with big rigs instead of guns. You know, like, which do you prefer? Do you want us all to bring out our guns, or would you rather have us protest with big rigs and have convoys? You know, you choose. You know what I mean? What's the least?
Well, what they should do, is declare themselves not a corporation and have a right to travel.
I didn't understand what he said. What did he say?
I say the trucks should have declared themselves not being a part of a corporation, and we got a right to travel.
There you go. There you go. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I really think, Joe, that it depends on the jurisdiction. And then they got a problem with enforcing it, even if it is illegal. Because in order to determine the vehicle's convoy, they got to be observed for a certain number of miles in a state where it's illegal. And as a practical matter, that's kind of difficult to do in a document.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, is a truck coming in and all of a sudden encountering the convoy? Are they supposed to, how do you know they're part of the convoy? They just come in from another lane or another in cloverleaf. And all of a sudden, they find themselves in the middle of a convoy, and you're going to charge them because they're in it? Nah, it's not going
to
work.
Yeah, plus they're going to seek employment.
Yeah, you're not guilty by association. You're not guilty just because you're there.
Yeah.
Well, you're guilty by association in America, trust me.
Yeah.
Now, Trudeau might try to do that shit, but I don't think it's going to fly in most places, even where it's illegal. There's not a blanket prohibition on it. I know there is in California. I'm sure it's illegal in California. Of that, I don't have much doubt.
How about New Mexico?
Well, hell, you know, if you do any amount of driving out there on the highways, you're going to see 3, 4, 5 trucks all in a row.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Convoy.
Yeah, that way they can lessen the drag. They rotate and they lessen. One of them will move out in front, and that lessens the amount of drag as they go through the air. And it increases their fuel economy. That's the way they do it.
Yeah, when Trump got elected, you seen pickup trucks, SR5s, and everything headed west. Along, I guess that's Highway 10 that runs parallel with the ocean. Hell, it was running in long lines to getting the hell out of Dodge. It was scared of Trump.
Hell, a lot of them do it for the fuel mileage.
Yeah,
and they'll take turns with the position of the truck in the line. You know. The truck up front is breaking the air, and then the trucks in the rear are not burning as much fuel. And they'll do that for miles and miles and miles, and then somebody will come out and pass, and they'll take the lead and, you know, break the air for the rest of the trucks.
You know, I really think what they're going to do is if they're going to determine you, maybe you're impeding traffic if you don't have enough space between vehicles so vehicles can easily change lanes. That's where you might get jacked up. If you're running all of them so close together, and you know how long you know, a truck with a 40-foot semi with a 40-foot trailer is, and you got a bunch of them running together and only like 30 feet apart, well, you got a 3-mile convoy, they might be able to get you on impeding traffic. But if you allow enough space between
this is
the
when
vehicles,
I wish that Nathan was on the line with us. I wish Nathan would have called
know,
in because he'd be the
oh,
first
yeah,
guy.
Oh, yeah, he'd be able to tell you.
Listen, listen.
He drives through more states than I do, so
listen.
He probably know better.
Here's the thing. Those guys know how to drive, okay? They do it for a fucking living. You think that they're going to purposely impede traffic just... you know, for a convoy, for something like that, knowing that by doing that, you know, it puts them all at risk?
No, I don't. I don't think they would.
They didn't
I
do
mean,
it in Washington,
you,
D.C.
You go...
The trucker convoy went to Washington, D.C., and they circled the whole freaking area, but they weren't imposing traffic. They didn't break no laws.
Yeah.
They kept their distance. They minded their P's and Q's, but they circled the whole D.C. area time and time and time again. So there was no way for them to, you know, get pulled over and arrested or have their CDLs revoked or anything like that.
They couldn't. They were too busy climbing through the windows.
Well, I remember them convoys used to have the National Guard would come going to and from summer camp. Our convoys were really long. Of course, we were exempt. Plus, we're driving those tactical deuce and a half, and they really—we're not supposed to go over 45 miles an hour in them on the highway. You can imagine how pissed people were to be signed
up. Oh! You just made me think of something. Okay, so why can't truckers? Convoy, why can they be prosecuted for obstructing traffic when our own president or even foreign nationals can have a whole goddamn motorcade and streets blocked off, you know, and nobody could get in and out, you know, that's imposing on traffic right there. So if our elected officials, like our president, are not even our elected officials, if a foreign dignitary can come here, a foreign prime minister or whatever comes here, and they can have a whole goddamn motorcade and they can have streets completely fucking blocked off, you know, in order to make way for
because
them.
Because the reason
that's
is because
traffic.
They have laws. They have laws that exempt them, and they have statutes specifically that exempt them, and they are often accompanied by emergency vehicles with flashing lights.
So,
why
now,
should they be awarded
let me,
any fucking, you know, special privileges over we the people?
Well, you got to take that
you
up
know?
With your legislators because they put the laws
let
in
me,
place.
Let me ask this question. Who is going to try and stop them? The states? The feds?
No, states are escorting.
Huh?
The police agencies are escorting them with emergency vehicles.
Yep.
It's like a funeral procession. You know how funeral processions
are. So not only
are they
obstructing traffic,
no,
they're
no,
also occupying much-needed police forces for it.
I'm talking about...
Unlike the truckers.
I'm talking about the truckers. Who is going to impede them?
It's kind of hard, I would think, being they weigh up to 40 tons.
Yeah.
That's the legal limit under interstate
commerce.
Imagine, 40
tons. 50,000 truckers, 100,000. Biden administration or even the state prosecutors want to prosecute and revoke the licenses of all these drivers, imagine the impact that would have on the supply chain. They can't do it. They can't suddenly revoke the CDLs from 50,000 or 100,000 truckers and not expect all absolute economic chaos to ensue.
Well, they're not going to do that. They just fine them, I guess, if they were going to do it. They wouldn't fine. They wouldn't revoke their licenses. They just give them a fine in order to show look what we can do.
Who is threatening to do this?
Not that I know of. I don't know anybody yet. We're just speaking. I haven't heard anybody threaten them yet.
Yeah, we're just saying if they're going to try to prosecute a bunch of drivers for obstructing traffic and all this other stuff and threaten them with their loss of their, because that's what they'll do. That's exactly what they'll do. They'll threaten these drivers.